Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Coming at you live from Bourbonnais, Illinois, the home of the Chicago Bears training camp, where they're, oh man, we're going to kick the Lions' ass this year. You're listening to UMOR, Uncensored MMA Online Radio. Tonight's show, gang, brought to you by Tri-County Cab Company of Peoria, Illinois. Peoria's best cab company, 309-497-1111. Put it in your phone now for when you need it later. Don't drink and drive, guys. The cops will get you. Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Big Perm, rocking the mic tonight. As always, I'm joined by my co-host, Dave the Butcher Clifford. Dave, how the hell are you tonight?
Oh, I'm doing great tonight. It's definitely been hot once again up here in northern Michigan, and we're enjoying it. It's a little cooler at night, so as the summer draws to an end, the tourists start to leave, and the locals start to smile.
Boy, and life returns to normal, don't it?
A little bit.
Well, Dave, this week we got an awesome show lined up. Man, we got all kinds of interesting characters coming onto the show tonight. Rick Bassman will be joining the show. This is a gentleman that I knew absolutely nothing about until just the last couple of days when I did my research for the show. And I don't know how I didn't hear about this guy before. Man, this guy has done everything in sports entertainment, from wrestling to MMA. He was a fighter. The guy's been homeless, a drug addict, and bounced back to be back at the top of the game. I'm really looking forward to talking to him.
Cancer? I don't even know. I couldn't even take notes. I was the same boat. I didn't know anything. I can't wait to interview this man. This guy.
Oh, no doubt. And he's got a new book coming out. I think it's set to be released later in November. I definitely want to, talk to him about the book. But also joining us tonight will be Sean West. Sean's an MMA fighter from Davenport, Iowa, and he just recently fought, I believe it was last weekend, at an event in Sterling, Illinois. Nick Meyer, we had him on a week or two ago. It was his event that he fought at, and we'll talk to Sean about that. Also joining the show will be Jason Reinhardt. He's a UFC veteran. Just an MMA veteran overall with a great 20-3 record. We'll also hear from Dan Severn. Dan will be joining the show for a little bit tonight. He'll be talking about... Yes, the Beast, baby, representing Michigan. He'll be on talking about a reality TV show that he's hosting a casting call for this Thursday up at Michigan Combat Sports. And last but not least, joining
Michigan,
the show.
Michigan training camp, or Michigan sports camps it is.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, careful, then you know how the name game goes.
Open the casting call. Michigan. Oh, yes, my bad. Michigan sports camp. Let me get that correct. It's August 30th up in Coldwater, Michigan. I'll make sure I don't screw that up anymore.
That's cool. I know there's so many different names. It's easy to do, bro. Believe me, I'm an announcer. They let me know real fast if I get something a little bit wrong.
Smack you around a little bit. Hey, boy.
Yeah, not the kind of place. It's the kind of place where people will punch you when they get upset.
Oh, yes. And, Dave, last but not least, for the last few weeks, we've really been talking a lot about women's MMA and, just how quick it's blowing up and growing. We got Caitlin Young. She's she's an Invicta fighter. She'll be joining the show in the second hour, and she'll be wrapping up the show with us towards the end of the night. I look forward to talking to her and getting her insight on, all kinds of stuff. But, Dave, let's not waste time, man. There was all kinds of news, this week around the world MMA. Obviously, the biggest one. The biggest tidbit of news is UFC 151 being canceled. The whole freaking event canceled in the shitter. So, there's so many angles here. Good Lord. The event itself being canceled. Dana
well,
White
how about
his
this?
Comments.
Let's,
John Jones. Chael
let's
Sonnen,
try to break
Belfort. Anyway, tell me about the event being canceled overall. What are your thoughts on just the whole event being canceled?
Well, I guess the first thing that I would do is break it down chronologically. The first thing that happened is I saw some reports, some isolated reports about Hendo being injured and not being sure if he can go, and wanting to try to, you know, let him know as quickly as possible. So what, 2 weeks was it? A week? Week and a half before the fight?
Yeah, week and a half.
Hendo finally announces that he's too injured to fight. And, you know, you can't be less than 100% to fight for a UFC title. And so, you know, it was kind of late to be backing out for them to get a relevant title fight for him. You know, because you can't really, you know, with Hendo being hurt, you got to respect him, and you got to know that the one thing about him is he is a game fighter. He is ready to go. I mean, if he's not, I mean, if he's pulling out, it's serious. It's probably career ending. And when Chael Sonnen piped up, and all I'd heard about it officially was some Twitter rambling by Chael Sonnen that was repeated on Facebook, and then I went and looked, and, you know, it's like, well, okay, dude, I thought you were supposed to fucking retire after you lost. And wait a minute, after you were decimated and humiliated by Anderson Silva. Motherfucker said he was going to quit, didn't he, bro? I mean,
didn't he?
Okay. So, really, that should be the end of that part of the conversation. Sadly, it is not.
Nope.
And Bones could not take this fight. Because here's the thing. Sonnen is a lefty. Southpaw.
Yep.
Hendo's a tough son of a bitch with an iron chin, but his wrestling hasn't been relevant for 10 years. Sonnen is a single-leg takedown artist and a lefty, and it's not something you can take on short notice, regardless of whether... No matter what, there's no need for John Jones to fight this guy. Was it going to be at 85 and non-title even? I mean, who knows? And then throwing in also, well, what about this? And then Dana White starts getting pissed off at Greg Jackson and blaming Greg Jackson and John Jones for not taking the fight about Sonnen and praising Sonnen. And it's like, well, wait a minute. Like I said, everybody fucking forgot he said he was going to quit. And now... You know, you didn't say shit about the dude getting a DUI, but now he's an asshole
for right.
being a real, you know, and he's a real fighter. He's not one of these Wanderlei Silva guys that could take a fight on 2 seconds notice and be competitive. He's a new generation, hybrid, real MMA fighter whose coaches are just as important to his game plan as his own abilities. And you just can't make a good fight against a guy like this in 2 weeks. So why the fuck do you cancel the event, though? You could have made it free on Fuel TV to make the undercard guys happy and get these guys paid, you know?
And that's where I'm disappointed with Dana in this and all of this, is that whole event didn't need to be canceled. I mean, there were a lot of guys who were counting on that payday to take care of business, and that's their livelihood. And
now, but it was a watered-down card. It's kind of a watered-down card.
Yeah, kind of, sort of. But still,
I'm happy about it because my boy Crookshank was on it. But other than that, I was like, well, yeah, okay.
Well, you know, and today Chael Sonnen was even on talking about Chael Sonnen. He was on ESPN Radio. They interviewed and talked with him, and Chael Sonnen, you know, is even thinking that you know, he might even still get a shot at John Jones. He's thinking that Vitor Belfort might pull out of this thing and. He's going to be right there, you know, to step up, you know, if he's needed. But, you know, to John Jones, you know, even though Vitor, he's a lefty, right? You know, he didn't take that first fight that was offered to him from Sonnen on 8 days' notice, but yet, you know, he'll give it an extra week and then turn around and on September 22nd, a week or two later, and take a fight with Belfort. I mean, if you're the champ. I don't give a shit who you are. If you're the champ, you should be in tip-top shape every day, ready to fight whoever, whenever, wherever.
I disagree. I say if you're the champ, you should have good enough management to write a good-ass contract and not have to fight some fucking guy who's that dangerous. Regardless of whether I like Sonnen or not, he's dangerous to Jones on short notice, and it's not proper.
Well, I'm glad that we disagree on that one.
I love you, though. You're my boy. You're my boy, but no, dude. I disagree. If you write a good fucking contract, good for you. You are a professional. And that's what he is. Like it or not.
Now, let's see. This
Dana's
fight,
the asshole here, though. You're right about that. I like that part. Bald Bozo fucks the asshole. John Jones doesn't sign checks. John Jones didn't cancel the event. So Dana White should have had something else. I heard Anderson Silva offered to fight Chris Weidman.
Well, that's the other thing I was going to bring up. That's another crazy angle to this story is, you know, Anderson Silva did offer to fight Weidman. And, you know, and instead of making that fight happen and making the entire card happen so that the rest of these fighters who have worked their ass off can get their payday, it was just canceled completely. And, you know, there's even been rumblings, you know, just kind of I've heard a few rumblings around the world of MMA about a fighters union. And just Dana White's mishandling of the event. And there's a lot of people out there, you know, that are piping up now, you know, even louder about establishing a fighter union. You know, do you think that would be a good thing for the sport, or do you think that, you know, the union, a union getting involved would, you know, bring more politics to the table?
Well, the two things I got to say about unions, I come from Michigan, and look what they did for us. They damn near crippled us with the way the auto unions handled the auto companies. I mean, it brought America to a halt a few years back, if everybody remembers, because it happened right alongside the banking and housing crisis.
Don't get me started on unions, man. I love the rank-and-file union guys. The rank-and-file union guys are awesome, but it's their leaders. Oh, don't even get me started.
Well, it's not just necessarily the leaders. It's one of those things where, you know, a couple of pimples are okay, but pimples all over your face and you're fucked up.
Right.
You know, so it's like maybe it's more or less that these guys and the management teams and whoever it is needs to write better contracts. I think that the now that precedent has been set, and I'm not sure, this is weird to me. It's weird. It's odd.
Yeah, it's the
especially
first time
after
the
we sat through
it. It's never been canceled since Zuffa owned it.
Yeah, I mean, especially after we sat through 149. Now, is this a result of the fact that we sat through a cobbled pay-per-view and bitched about it? Or is it just, I mean, what the fuck? What's going on here with Bubbles? I mean, or the ball falls though. He was just, or Needles. What's going on with fucking Needles here? And this motherfucker just gained favor with me by praising women and wearing Ronda Rousey's shirt and talking about it finally becoming, cracking it, you know, we're finally going to see some women's fights in the UFC, Strikeforce, you know, come on, man, quit backpedaling, you fucking asshole. You're in charge of this for some goddamn reason, and two unnamed brothers who have Fertittas or Ferrignos, whatever it is, come on, get it together.
That's, to
bullshit.
Say the least, man. And
bullshit. Fuck weird.
Sorry,
God, go ahead, bro, I don't...
I love hanging out with you.
It's true, though. It's fucked up.
What? A pair of lightweight bouts looking for a home after the cancer. No, I just was just stumbling around here. I was looking at MMAJunkie.com. And speaking of your boy Crookshank, Crookshank Martinez was moved to UFC on Fox 5, which is going to take place December 8th at Key Arena in Seattle. It's going to be headlined by lightweight title fight between Ben Henderson and Nate Diaz. That's MMAJunkie.com reporting that move. December 8th at Key Arena in Seattle is where that's tentatively planned.
Yeah, that's pretty cool to be a lightweight fighter fighting at a lightweight title fight card.
No doubt, man. And, that card, you know.
Yeah.
They moved the Tim Means and Abel Trujillo fight to that card as well. And it looks like, you know, they are, I don't know, there's a decent card shaping up. Brendan Schaub and LeVar Johnson are going to get it on at that December 8th event in Seattle. It looks like they added Mike Swick and Brown to that card as well. So hopefully after this debacle, you know, they can get shit back in order. And
and who knows? Maybe Astoria will come out of this later. I mean, he's setting precedent here. It's something different. It's definitely got him in the news.
Most definitely. Well, listen, besides UFC 151, the other thing I wanted to talk about just really quick, just remind our listeners, coming up here in about 4 days, August 31st is 1FC over in Manila in the Philippines. Our previous guest, we got Phil Baroni. He's taking on Ibero. Phil is so ready for this fight. I see him tearing that dude's head off and putting it like in the 10th row
Dude, Phil Baroni was the realest motherfucking interview I swear I'd ever did. I've never been scared during an interview before.
Right? Phil is a character, man, and I really like him because he is real. Have you caught any of that Fight Factory TV show that he was telling us about that airs on Nuvo TV?
No, I have not. I barely get time for television.
Well, shame on you. As far as Phil goes, that show definitely gives some good insight to Phil and what he's been going through to get back into this game. And man, he has had a long road, and I give him all the best. We're also going to see Jens Lilly Pulver. He's going to be taking on Eric Kelly, and then Andre Arlovsky's fighting. Isn't Arlovsky fighting Sylvia on that card, if I'm not mistaken?
Yes, sir. Midwestern.
Arlovsky and Tim Sylvia, the maniac.
Yeah, dude, I hope Sylvia gets a win here. He needs one, bro.
Most definitely. I mean, I'm a fan of both Arlovsky and Sylvia. But, you know, knowing Tim, him training in the Quad Cities and being up there as long as he was, I'm going to put my money and my support behind Tim. I want to see him come out of here with a big old W.
I got to meet this guy in a little old town in the middle of Michigan called Clare. There's a sporting goods store, and he was there making an appearance, and I was on my way to a King of the Cage show in Detroit to be staff. And I made sure I left in time to stop there during the hours, and I rolled up there in my King of the Cage duds and asked him if he wanted to ride along to the show because he was almost done. And he's like, oh, well, how far is it? And I said, well, 2.5 hours. He said, no. He was interested in hunting, though, and he was real into that, you know. But here's the thing. He took a couple pictures with me and signed a shirt and stuff. And he's a real nice guy. And I always remember that, you know. Whenever I meet someone that was cool like that, you know, I always support them. And I've seen him get knocked out or beaten by some of the best heavyweights of all time.
That's one thing you can say about Tim Sylvia is he has definitely fought some of the best in the world. Win or lose, you know, that guy's got
everybody
in there and done it. And, again, gang, 1FC, August 31st. You can catch a stream on YouTube. Just check it out, you know, support MMA worldwide. 1FC is definitely the largest and fastest growing MMA organization in Asia. 1FC.com, you can find them on Twitter, 1FC. Look all over the place. Just make sure you check out that event and throw your support behind those guys. Now, gang,
Pride rules in a cage. It's awesome.
Fuck yeah. Stomps and kicks and elbows of all sorts. It's
yellow cards.
Awesome. Yes. No, those yellow cards and that taking, you know, 10% or 20% penalty taken from the purse. That definitely motivated a motherfucker to throw down.
Yeah, and I'm interested in that. You know, I don't compare it to the UFC. It's a different deal. There's no need, like,
animal.
You know, UFC is a different deal now, and it's cool.
Well, Dave, listen, we're about to make our first phone call and bring our first guest on for the show tonight. We're going to be talking with Rick Bassman. Now, listen, gang, if you guys have any questions for Rick, don't be afraid. Call in. The number is 347-945-7551. And, you know, if we don't pick up your call right away, just hang out, listen to the show, and when we get a minute, we'll bring you on. That way you can ask your question. Of course, you can do that
to
all of our guests.
Hey, Jeremy, give them that number again.
Sure. One more time. It's 347-945-7551. And right now we're going to call Mr. Bassman and see what he's up to.
Hello.
Hi, Rick.
Yes.
Hey, good evening, bud. This is Big Perm from Uncensored MMA Online Radio. How the hell are you tonight, man?
I'm doing well. How are you? Are we on the air yet?
I was just going to say yes, sir. I'm coming at you live, and we're
all right. All right. I was expecting you guys an hour from now, so I'm going to have to wing it from where I am, but we'll do our best.
Oh, well, shucks. My producer, Chris, he told me, well, forget about it. We'll move on.
All right, fair enough.
We're on live with myself and also my co-host, Dave the Butcher Clifford. Dave, say hello, bud.
Hey, how's it going? Rick, I'll tell you what. If anybody can wing it, I'm sure that you're going to be having no problems.
We'll be just fine. I'm on a what they call a dog beach though in Big Bear by the lake with four pit bulls and a wolf. So I've got my hands full, but I'm going to do the best I can with you guys.
Well, if you need to go for any crazy reason, don't be afraid to just drop the phone and go. We'll understand.
Right. Fair enough. Gotcha. I appreciate that. In the meantime, let's get to it and have some fun. Yep.
For sure, man. Well, listen, for the audience that don't know, Rick Bassman, this guy has been around the world like a million times. Rick's done everything from pro wrestling to MMA, fighting himself, managing fighters. The guy's fought and battled cancer, been homeless, a drug addict, and he's all back. And guy's just a living example that, if you put your mind to something, you know, whatever it is, you can do it. Now,
well, Rick, I appreciate the intro. Thank you. Yes, sir.
I'm kind of embarrassed to admit this, man. I've been an MMA fan for, 20 years or better, and I have never, ever heard your name. And until a couple of days ago when I started doing my research, and then I was like, wow, how come I haven't heard of this guy before?
No, you know, that's okay. I mean, you know, I'm not what you call mainstream necessarily. I'm known by the people that are in the business or are strangely hardcore. So that's all good. It's all forgiven. We'll let it slide. How's that?
Awesome, man. Well, listen, the first thing I wanted to talk about before we get into your past and how you got into what you're doing and all that, you got a book coming out later this November.
Yeah, I've got a book coming out November 30th. It's put out by Simon Schuster. They're a major publisher. So hopefully they're going to, in pro wrestling parlance, what we call give it a push. I got a good deal, so I think that indicates they will. The book's called Been There, Done That. It spans 30 years of my life, which is no big deal because most of our lives are pretty boring and it's all good. But, it covers everything that you talked about in the intro from, my life in wrestling and in mixed martial arts. And I did spend some time at the very, very top of both professions, and I think I have what I like to think, at least, is a unique take and perspective on it and on some of the top guys and gals in the sport. And, it covers, dying from cancer for 3 years and being an executive at Disney and winning an Emmy Award and a whole bunch of crazy bouts with drugs and great rock and roll stories with the Billy Idols and Madonnas of the world and on and on. So it was fun writing it. I finished it a few months ago. Comes out November 30th. It's called Been There, Done That. And, hopefully someone out there reads it and likes it or gets inspired even, which would be great.
Well, I'll tell you what, this is David Butcher here, and I was in the same boat as Chris, and one of the things that I recognize having been, I'm almost 40, and I haven't really done anything. I've been around to myself, though, just been one of those guys. I'm around, I'm here. Some people know who I am, some people don't. Different genres of the subculture and mainstream cultures, and it's always the guys that no one's heard of that have the best fucking stories because of the fact that the people that are around them are confident they normally aren't going to get shared unless it's in a book, and if it is, it's going to be pretty safe. So
that's a good point, and I want to add on to that, and this is But I'm going to qualify this statement first. This is going to sound so arrogant and so egotistical, but I'm going to say it. I recently read, I didn't read for about 2 years. I didn't want to read because there are a lot of better writers out there than I, and it just interfered with my process when I was reading. So when I finished my book, I was super psyched to pick up and start reading again, and what I went to were autobiographies. I wanted to see what other people had done. And I read Keith Richards' autobiography, and he and Mick Jagger are my rock and roll heroes for sure. And I read Nelson Mandela's autobiography. He was probably just my hero, period. And here's the arrogant statement. My book is way more interesting than both of theirs. And it blows my mind to even hear myself say that, but it's true. So there you go. I said it.
To me it is. To me it is. Because all of these issues that were just covered in... And here's the way I research my interviews, bro, without giving this away. I Google a name if I don't know the guy, and I go to page 7 of the fucking search, okay? And you always get interesting questions. And so I kept coming across, and everything's pretty vague. And these are all topics that have touched my life, They're interesting in the very least. Almost every single person is interested in either pro wrestling or MMA these days, from 90-year-old women to teenagers. So, I mean, it's the biggest market, and it's so hard to put your finger on it because it touches everyone's lives these days. It's such a big phenomenon. So I guess what I'd like to steer more towards is your involvement in pro wrestling and MMA, and what, tell it without giving away too much, of course, tell us in a nutshell how you got involved and what you've done, and if you, how you're still involved in either pro wrestling, MMA, or both, or how they intertwine.
All right. Well, that was a short question that regrettably is going to beget a very long answer, but let's get started.
I like that.
And,
tell me.
If you don't like it, cut me off at any time. I promise you my feelings will not be hurt. But I first got into wrestling in business back in, I think, 85 was a year. I don't have a good head for years, but 85 should have been right. I came up as a big fan. I'm 50. I came up as a big fan back in the territorial days, watching NWA in California, and then got back into it again during the first Hulkamania era. And I'm watching wrestling at that point, and something struck me while watching it, and it was this. Also, having come up as a huge comic book fan, if you remember, you said you're 40, and how old is the other? I'm sorry?
I'm 36.
Okay, so this, you might be a little, you may be a little young for this, but you probably know your history. When wrestling got huge again in the mid-80s, a big part of it was America versus the anti-Americans, if you remember that, with Sheik and Volkov.
Oh, yeah,
and whatnot.
Sheik and Volkov, yep.
Right. And if you remember the American heroes back then, there were Wyndham and Rotundo, the American Express, Dusty Rhodes, the
yep.
American Dream,
Hacksaw,
so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Now, here's the funny thing. This day and age, now that I understand wrestling, the business, which I didn't back then, these guys are all my friends now, the ones I just named, and I respect them to death. Now, what I'm about to say is a little disrespectful. I'm watching Wyndham and Rotunda and Dusty Rhodes and Hacksaw back in 85, saying to myself, as a comic book fan, saying, these guys are the ultimate American heroes? Boy, they sure don't look it. They're not in very good shape. They're not that articulate. They're not that great looking. Because in my mind, I've got this vision of Captain America should be the guy out there. So I had a notion one day to go out and basically put together pro wrestling's, in my mind at least, what pro wrestling's version of the ultimate all-American heroes would look like. And my idea, keep in mind, I knew nothing about how the business worked.
Hey,
my idea was
you're responsible for Corporal Kirshner, were you?
No, I had nothing to do with him. I can't take this credit for that one. But you can nail me for
ahead.
A lot of other bad feats along the way, that's for sure. But in any case, I went out and the idea was this. Get an American Indian, a black guy, an Italian-American, and a blonde-haired, blue-eyed, all-American boy, dress them in red, white, and blue, and call them Power Team USA, put them all into wrestling and make them the biggest stars in the world overnight. The clueless factor was I had no idea that you couldn't take four absolutely green guys and make them stars overnight. It was a different world back then. I didn't know you couldn't take four guys and put them in the same territory and get a push behind them. But not knowing
the
that.
Pro network.
Not knowing that, which is sheer energy and inertia, I went out and found the four guys, got the costuming together, photographed them, trained them the whole nine yards, and ultimately two of the guys that emerged from that group were Steve Borden, who became Sting, and Jim Hellick, who became the Ultimate Warrior. So that was my
the Warrior was one of my favorites, dude. Awesome.
Dude, the war. Oh man, you know, I with my with my Zen-like training and spiritual upbringing and what I try to be these days, I never want to say anything bad about anybody. But the guy's a fucking nut job psycho, unlike anybody else.
You've got to be. Look at the Iron Sheik.
I lived in the same house with the guy for a year and a half, and I started the guy when he was, just in his early, early stages. And I got stories about that guy. Sorry?
Was he the dingo kid before he was...
Dingo warrior at world class, yeah. That was it.
I remember that.
Yeah, but nonetheless, that was my first foray into pro wrestling, and I learned a lesson pretty quickly that I had a lot of it wrong, but... You know, back in starting, I met Bell Watts, I met Vern Gagne, and I got a taste for the business. And years later, I opened the first mixed martial arts gym in the state of California. It's called Ultimate University. I'm sorry, Extreme University. And in that gym, I met a guy named Rico Ciparelli, who was from the Raw team in MMA. He introduced me to two guys, Mark Coleman and Mark Kerr, who needed some guidance at the time. And at the they were pretty much the top heavyweights in the world, Mark Coleman in UFC, Kerr in Pride. And took them under my wing for management. And in that gym, I put a pro wrestling and decided to start a wrestling school. So my success in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts really took off at about the same time, back in 98. And the long and short of it, and I'll try to make this part short, is eventually I ended up discovering and training The Miz, Victoria, John Heidenreich, Chris Masters, Dathan Jones, and took Ivory in, Nova, Luther Reigns, and reinvigorated their careers. And I'm missing a lot. 45 people altogether I sent to WWF or WWE under contract. And while I had that gym, I developed a pro wrestling brand. We did a tiny little gym show back in 2000, which about 20 people attended. We called it Ultimate Pro Wrestling in homage to UFC. And Ultimate Pro Wrestling was shortened to UPW later and became probably or arguably the leading indie in the world at the time and was for a number of years. And
It was real popular. I remember because I was a pro wrestling fan first. But my pro wrestling references from earlier did not come from Google. Those came from the top of my head, let me let you know. And so
right on.
The first four fucking people you picked, you got Sting and the Ultimate Warrior out of? Come on, man. That's
Sting and Warrior were my first two, and, you know, later Cena and Miz and a bunch of others. And in the MMA world, I managed Coleman and Kerr and Tank Abbott and Bob Sapp and Butterbean and Marco Huas and Don Fry and Dan Severn and Oleg Tartarov. You know, a big collection of the early icons of the sport. And eventually I had two brands. I had the UPW brand for wrestling, which I sold to WWE a few years back, and developed a fighting company called Valor Fighting and Management, which I sold to K1 a few years back. So, you know, it was a good successful run. I was under contract to WWF or WWE three times. I consulted for Vince personally when he thought about getting into the MMA business. I ran all of K1's North American operations.
Yeah, what held Vince back?
I'm sorry?
What held Vince back, if you don't mind? I like to go off, dude. You're making
right.
a lot of sense to me. I enjoy this interview. Why didn't he do that? That sucks.
I wish he would have pulled the trigger. This was 6-7 years ago. They were flying me to Stanford once a month, and they'd pay me each time, and I'd sit down with all the top brass, and I helped them develop a business plan to go into mixed martial arts. Now, or to contemplate going into it, I should say. Now, this is when Shane was pushing hard for it. He was a big fan. He wanted to buy Pride. I'll take credit for dissuading WWE from buying Pride, which turned out to be a bad buy. And we went through it. The business plan was fantastic, in my own opinion, of course, to help develop it.
Sure.
I think had they pulled the trigger, they would have been successful. I think at the time, WWE was probably the only organization in the world or the best-suited organization in the world to compete with UFC. To answer your question why he didn't do it, to this day, after making a dozen trips there and doing the business plan, I don't know the exact reason why. He may have been gun-shy because of the XFL and because of the movie business and because of the bodybuilding league. I don't know. But it's unfortunate because mixed martial arts would have been closer to what they do than anything else they had ventured into before. And I think they would have made a great go of it.
I do too. I agree. I mean, if you look at any of the smaller organizations now that are lingering and still making runs at UFC, I mean, Bellator is the second best now, it seems. But there's some decent regional promotions. And some of the, you know, even Terry Treblecock from King of the Cage is a lot like Vince. You know what I mean? If you look at him, except for the fact that he's not frugal. So do you see anybody ever competing with the UFC, or have they just plumb took it over and there's just no way to rest it?
Yeah, it's not going to happen now. I mean, you can never say never, obviously, but they're too firmly entrenched. They owe way too big of a market share. You know, if WWE loaded all their guns and decided to take a run at them, they might make a dent in them still, but I think the window of opportunity has passed. It was open 6 years ago when we were talking. I think it's probably closed now. They own the market. The UFC is they're to mixed martial arts with Kleenex is to tissue paper and Coke is to soda, and it is what it is.
Yeah, you're right about that.
As far as Terry goes, I've had my go rounds and my run-ins with Terry. I think Terry Troublecock, or Terry Trouble Penis, as I like to call him. If you get the play on words. I think he's an absolute poor man's version of what WWE does, and certainly of what UFC does. But the model that I had helped build for Vince when consulting was very much the WWE model goes mixed martial arts. It would have been different, but it would have been cool, and I think it would have worked.
I do too. I wish, man. Even just hearing that, I'm thinking, God, the hackles on my neck stand up, and I'm just tickled to be talking about it with you. Now, I'm sure my co-host back there, Big Perm, has been itching to ask you a question. I know I've cut him off a couple times. You want to go ahead, homeboy?
I've been enjoying listening to you guys rap. My next question for Rick, I just kind of wanted to take things in a different direction, talk about his personal life for just a little bit. Earlier today, I was sharing with a friend of mine that I was going to be interviewing you today, and as she was looking at your website and checking out your book coming up, the one thing that caught her eye was your life as an addict, because she happens to be dealing with that right at the moment. And she says it's really important, for people to share their stories so that others can hear it and learn from it. And so I just wanted to know if you could talk, a little bit about your personal life without getting too personal, as much as you want to, and just put it out there for those that might be going through some of those same problems right now, and can maybe see you as somebody that has been there and bounced back and, is now back at the top of the game.
Well, yeah. I'm glad to talk about it. I never shy away from it. I've got a question for you first about your friend. Is she hot? No, I'm sorry. That was a horrible attempt at humor right there. Anyway. Sorry, that was bad. That was really bad.
That's the 13th step.
There you go. That's awesome. Here's my thing. I've done pretty much everything something like that. I've done pretty much everything someone can do to damage themselves or abuse themselves. I don't know where it came from. I had a decent upbringing, very good upbringing actually, but I lost my mom suddenly. This was 13. My dad disappeared, not because he abandoned us, but he had to go to work. So my brother and I raised ourselves, and we started drinking a lot of alcohol at a very, very young age. 13, I guess that's young. And, I'm 50 now, and I've never really looked back. Partying or substances or that sort of thing has always been a part of my life, sometimes to a greater degree than others. When I first got in the business in 1980, I was a concert promoter. I owned a nightclub in 1981 when I was 21 years of age. I had my own limousine. I had a modeling agency. I mean, it was a recipe for, how much cocaine can we get around us and put up our nose because we're 21-year-old rock concert promoters. And, that was probably, I want to say maybe the first time I really, got into serious amounts of abuse. But then I look back 2 years before that when I was lying on my back dying of cancer. I had lung cancer for 3 years. I spent the better part of 3 years in the hospital. And on the occasions when I'd get out, and I was down to 85 or 90 pounds because of the chemotherapy, I would go out and drink so much that I put a 300-pound biker to shame. It was just out of control. And I don't know why. I still don't know why. I look back at it. What I can say is this. And then years later, sitting around backstage with the Go-Go's and Billy Idol and sticking a needle in my arm and, years after that, like the rest of us in the pro wrestling world, getting a little too into the narcotic painkillers and whatnot. Many of us, especially in these worlds, and you guys will know what I'm talking about because you're in the world, it seems to attract people with addictive personalities. It's not an excuse, but it's a reality. So the question is, once we get started, how do we treat it, and what do we do from there? Now, you could ask the question you asked of me of 1,000 people far better qualified than I to give an inspirational answer. But my take on it is this. No matter what happens in life, no matter what challenges we face, we to a degree always have our own choice. And I say to a degree because these things are physically addicting. Thankfully, I've been lucky and I've never been to an NA meeting, I've never been to an AA meeting, and I've never been to rehab. So I've always been able, for whatever reason, to as Hulk would say, gather up the intestinal fortitude to stop myself. In those times when I've been between and I am between, I'll just attribute it to, you know, a moment or a time of weakness. And I think that, as cliche as this is going to sound, when we get to a point that we realize things are doing us more harm than good, it's if we don't have the proper support system around us, it comes back to us and ourselves. And that's when we have a decision to make if we want to live or want to die. And as much as, you know, as much as I have a fucked up or addicted personality, or addictive personality, I should say, I've been blessed to always be able to sit myself down and say, enough, and put myself back on the right track. Unfortunately, it doesn't always last, but, you know, it doesn't always last. But then again, you know, I am 50, and I've, you know, again, I've been addicted to everything. I had cancer for 3 years. I've been stabbed, I've been shot, I've lived on the streets, and, you know, I've been in a couple hundred fights. So, I'm in pretty good shape, so it's working out somehow.
Well, and that's the other question I really had, was your fight career.
Oh, I'm sorry, what's that?
I was just going to say, my last question that I really had for you was one about your fight career. You know, dealing with cancer and everything else that you've dealt with in your life, you know, your fight career and your life as a fighter. I know you fought some giant dude over in Japan? I forgot the guy's name.
You're talking about the Hashimoto deal.
Yeah.
That was a pro wrestling match, but actually did turn into a shoot. That was a little scary. You know,
that guy was freaking huge, man.
Yeah, well, Hashimoto's a legend. Look him up. He's one of the, you know, top legends in the history of Japanese pro wrestling. And he's a real shooter also. You know, it's funny, whether it's him or somebody else, I mean, in a world of giants, and you guys live in that world too. You know, I'm 5'4" and 135 pounds, and I've been in lots and lots of real fights in my lifetime, and it's rarely somebody my size or smaller, because, you know, full-grown men aren't that small. That's how it comes down to. And, you know, as much shit as I've been through, most of which I've created for myself, I've been equally, you know, as much disaster as I face, as much poverty and addiction and pain and homelessness. The other side of it is, you know, I've been equally blessed with a positive attitude and a strong constitution. So I don't question it too much, other than I'm just able to constantly keep finding a way and keep on moving.
That's what it takes. I mean, that's one of the things that I personally, at my young age of 40, pride myself on. I've been at the bottom of a lot of places. I've been in prison for marijuana. You know, marijuana is legal in my state now, but before that, it wasn't. So, you know, I've been there. I've been in. They've sent me to rehab for marijuana several times because I failed urine tests. You know, and so I can relate to this positive attitude because I've been places, and you know, when they put me there, you know, I'm sitting in this place where there's murderers and rapists and people that belong in prison, you know. And they'll tell you. They'll let you know. You don't belong here, but I do. My job is to make your time worse, you know.
Right.
Different.
Right.
And my attitude got me through all of that. I was always happy to wake up. I make everybody laugh. I do goofy shit. You know, I'm the little guy. I'm the same way. You know, I'm 5'10 and 145, you know. So I'm as a ring announcer, my primary job, all right? I'm like Ronnie James Dio. I'm the little guy in there. Even the ref's bigger than me, you know, but I'm the one calling.
Yeah,
I'm the
and prison's not a good place for guys like you. I get it. Right.
No,
right.
But I came out of there a better person. I came out of there unhurt. You know, I got in a couple fights, but nobody ever tried to – I never had to fight for my purity. And so, you know, other than any of that, I've been
it's all right. What you did in your private time is between you and your friends. We're okay with that. It's all right.
And between you and his cellmate.
Don't make me come across this phone.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Sorry about that.
But no, but yeah, no, that's awesome. But no, it really is, you know, and that's the thing. To truly be inspired, it's not how inspirational the fucking way that the story's presented or what even happened. It's the person. And that's why I recommend, just on talking to you now and doing a small bit of perusing, I recommend that everybody buy your book, Been There, Done That, when it comes out in November. And I'm interested. I want to read it, you know.
Well, dude, I appreciate that very much. I do. Thanks for the endorsement. It's nice. And, you know, and you can relate. And, you know, it comes to the person, like you said. And it comes down to a choice. Every single day, every single minute, we have the opportunity to choose.
That's my 2-minute warning. I got about 2 minutes left with you, man. I just wanted to let you know.
Oh, do it. All right, this is a wrestling fighting show. So, dude, check out Been There, Done That. You're gonna hear stuff about the Ultimate Warrior and John Cena and Rob Van Dam and Brock Lesnar and a bunch of others you never ever would have imagined in a million years. It's handled very evenly, but it has an opinion. It's written in a different voice than all the bullshit tell-out wrestling books that are put out a dime a dozen every other month. And then in between that, there's, you know, a story of perseverance and hopefully inspiration, the kind of stuff that we talked about. So maybe it's the world's first serious wrestling book, whatever it is you want to call it. I appreciate your endorsement. Thank you guys for your time. I appreciate that, too. And if I can ever do anything in return for you guys, please let me know.
Well, Rick, that's the one last thing I wanted to ask. So I actually had two things. One, if you had the time next week, man, there's so much more that I want to talk to you about. Would you be willing to come back next week, maybe for another half hour?
Next Monday, I'm going to be in India promoting 3 dates with Korn, believe it or not. I'm promoting rock concerts in India these days.
Good.
Yeah, I've got Korn and Guns N' Roses and Elton John and Lady Gaga coming up this year still.
Holy shit.
Wow.
That's so
yeah.
Busy.
Yeah, that's a whole different thing. That's my main gig these days. It's one of several, but that's my main one. I'll be back on the, on the 15th of September. I'd be glad to come back on after then if there's a slot that's open, man.
Absolutely, man. We'll definitely make sure that we get you on the show again, as I've got a lot more I want to talk to you about.
I would love to do it, man.
It'd be
my pleasure.
We got about a minute left with you, man.
Sure.
I've been neglecting this caller. I got a caller hanging on the line. You got a minute to take a question from a caller?
Sure, absolutely.
All right, hang on. Let me bring him on the line here. I think I know who this is. Is this Chris I'm talking to? Hello there. You're on with Jeremy, Big Perm White, and Rick Bassman. You got a question for Rick? Well, I guess they're gone, Rick. So,
I guess we lost our guy. That's all right.
You know,
that's all right. Next time. We'll get him back, maybe.
We will, man. Hey, Dave, you got any last words for Rick?
Oh, I just want to say I really appreciate getting you letting us know about your story and telling us about all the places you've been. It just really hits home to me, man. I mean, it's just not just the wrestling stuff, but the personal stuff, too. I mean, it's, you know, very rarely do you hear someone say, been there, done that, and they really fucking mean it. So thanks for putting
your
story out there.
Appreciate that. Can I put out one last quick shameless plug? Is that cool?
Absolutely.
Thank you. My website that is built for the book is www.rickbassman. It's RickBassman.com. And if your listeners would be so kind to take a look and even like my Facebook, which is linked to the homepage, that helps me a lot with my publisher and getting the push. So I would greatly appreciate it. And a lot of the stuff we just talked about is spelled out in quite a bit of detail there. So it's www.rickbassman.com.
Awesome, Rick.
Make sure you get there. Go see it.
Thank you so much for taking the time tonight. You guys, you enjoy yourself up there at the lake, man. I've seen pictures. That place is freaking beautiful.
Oh, it's awesome.
Illinois.
Yeah, well, exactly. Guys, thank you so much. Have a good night, and let's catch up in a couple of weeks.
We will.
All right.
Take
care.
Good luck in India.
Right on. Bye-bye.
Later. Oh, shoot. Well, it looks like I lost my co-host Dave for a minute. Call me back, Dave. Anyway, gang, that was Rick Bassman. I could have sat and talked with that guy for like a whole nother hour. But Rick, we'll have him back here in a couple of weeks. In the meantime, I want to try and bring back my co-host, Dave. I seem to have cut him off. Shame on me for doing that. But Rick Bassman, that guy, you know, a truly inspirational story. You know, there's some in the MMA world that have a negative opinion of that guy, and then there's some that just love him to death and have nothing but good things to say. And I think that's just...
Hello, you have reached the voicemail of Dave the Butcher Clifford. I'm not available to take your call right now, so please either leave
a
message...
Well, I guess there he is, Dave.
...or take your missed call and call you back.
Ah, shucks. Anyway, gang, here coming up next, we're going to be talking with Sean West. Sean is a fighter from Davenport, Iowa. He just recently fought, I think about a week ago, 7, 8, 9 days ago, at an event in Sterling, Illinois. But before I try and get a hold of Sean, I'm going to try and get my co-host Dave back on the line. So just bear with me for just a second. I'm not sure what the heck happened to Dave up there in Michigan. Good Lord, who knows? He might have...
Hey, are you there?
Hey, there he is, man. What happened to you, brother?
Well, you hung up on the wrong guy. I think that's what happened.
Well, that we're definitely not, at least me, I'm not a professional radio producer by any means.
Well, hey, I don't blame you one bit. If anything, it gave me a chance to come inside here for just a minute.
I'm a guy sitting on my couch right at the moment wearing warm-up pants and a Chicago T-shirt, dude.
Yeah, I'm rocking my Tigers shirt today.
So what did you think about Rick Bassman, man? I mean, like I said, I did not know who this guy was until just a couple of days ago, and now I want to have him on the show every week for like the next month just to hear more stories.
In a nutshell, what I would have to say is, without any other words being necessary, interesting.
Quite interesting,
I mean,
to say the
least. Everything he's done is interesting to me. Like, everything he talks about is something that's an issue that I like to read about and hear about.
Even if it is perseverance through difficult times.
Right on. And, you know, to hear his wrestling stories, I mean, I know this is a show about MMA, but I was such a huge wrestling fan as a kid.
Hey, all of us were, dude. Every MMA fan loves wrestling. Every MMA fighter loves wrestling. There's almost no different. I mean, there's almost no exceptions, bro.
Yeah, I mean, if you grew up in that era, you were a
wrestler. Don't feel bad.
Without a doubt, man. The Ultimate Warrior, good God, dude, he's one of my favorites.
He's not even dead.
No, he's not.
Evidently, he's a low-life, though.
We're going to get on down the line to our next guest. We're going to be talking with Sean West. He's from Davenport, Iowa. He just fought 8 or 10 days ago up there in Sterling, Illinois at Nick Meyer's event. And as soon as I get the number in here, make sure I got it queued up right.
What's his first name, bro?
What's that again?
What's his first name again?
Sean West.
I remember that name.
Yeah, that video. Did you look at that video clip that I told you about?
Yeah, I saw his promo video. I know who this is.
Hello?
Hi, Sean.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Big Perm with Uncensored MMA. How the hell are you tonight, bud?
Not too bad. How you doing?
I'm alive and kicking, man. I'm having a ball.
Nice. Good old Monday night.
Oh, no doubt, man. I'm sitting on my couch in my warm-up pants and a T-shirt, you know, just kicked back with my house shoes on, drinking coffee and smoking cigarettes and doing all kinds of bad shit.
You sound comfortable.
Always, man. Well, listen, Sean, you're on live with me and also my co-host, Dave the Butcher Clifford. He's up in Michigan. Dave, you with us, man?
Yeah, what's happening, bro? It's good to have you on the show, man. I also want to say thanks, dude. I'm the first thing you see on this guy's promo video, man.
That was me announcing. Highlight clip.
Oh, thanks, man. My buddy Kevin put that on there. Guys at Bam Money Visuals.
Yeah, that was awesome, dude. I always loved it. I mean, people rarely put the announcers in there, man. Thank you, dude. I was humbled when I saw that. I was like, man, this guy lives in Iowa. Look at this.
It was great, man. You're a good announcer. Great announcer. You said it perfect. I liked coming out to that fight. That was a good introduction.
Oh, shit. I appreciate it. It was a great fight, too, man. It's great to have you on here. And I understand that you just had a fight last week now. Why don't you tell us about where that was and what happened?
Well, last Saturday, there was a kickboxing match that somebody had backed out from, so I took it on. I figured, hey, might as well get the experience and the cage time. It's fun to always put on a show. So I kickboxed John Kennedy. He's a little bit heavier than me, but, it was a good time. We had fun. And then
Saturday night, I went up to Sterling, Illinois, and had a kickboxing match against Brendan Wilson from Combat Zone up there with a little kickboxing coaches, Brent Sisson and T-Bone, I forget his name, but yeah, and Nick Meyer did a kickboxing show up there with them, and I won by KO in third round.
Sweet.
Good old match.
So you're primarily a striker then when it comes to your MMA fights?
Well, you know, I got some wins by that, but I go wherever it takes me. I'll try to finish wherever we end up. You know what I mean? So
yeah, absolutely.
I got a lot of ground finishes and a few stand up finishes, but you know, just finishing is my goal. So whatever the win is.
Yeah, well, for Sean, sure. So why don't you tell us the
city, right?
What's that?
I said you're up there in the Quad Cities, right?
Yep, up here with Team Lalo Kennels, and shout out to Hector Rodriguez. He's a good guy from Lalo Kennels, and then this guy hooked with Matt from Light 'Em Up Fight Gear. He's doing good things for me, man, and I just actually took a fight up in, I think, North Dakota, Dakota Fighting Championships against Jeremy Stett, so I'm pretty excited for that one. That comes October 13th.
What camp are you training with up there?
I train with MMAG, Midwest Martial Arts Group. Gary Schroeder's my trainer. It's a smaller gym, man, but we like to bang, and we're a family, man. We stay together, you know what I mean? So I like where I'm from. And
a handful of the MMAG fighters. I think there were a couple of them at Chris Maltzberger from Blue Blood MMA had an event back in, I can't remember what day it was, but it was Mississippi Mayhem up there at Ducky's Lagoon. And then,
Kyle Woods fought that day.
Yeah, I remember seeing the logo and you guys, all everybody who's out there representing and they're supporting the guy. Now, I mean, you had a crazy amateur career. What was your? You were like something like 15-0 or something like that as an amateur, weren't you?
Yeah, man, I was 15-1, but the one loss that I had fought, I actually took the fight going into weigh-ins, and I was 14-0 at the time. I took the fight off of 10 days of surgery. I had surgery 10 days before on my meniscus, you know, just really trying to, you know, sometimes fighters need money, you know what I mean, or whatnot. So I took the fight that weigh-ins, and I went out there and I tried to fight the best I could, but the guy got me, you know, after my knee. It was wrapped up, you can obviously tell. And, you know, I tapped out to strikes or whatnot just so I didn't have any post-injury or whatnot. But so that was my only loss, and I came back and I ended up beating Rudy Gray. I thought that was fabulous. So I figured, you know, go pro because I really didn't get tested too much as an AMI. And I had a couple belts. I had XFO's belt. I beat Casey Dyer. You know, made it to the Ultimate Fighter. Had the Extreme Challenges belt. Beat Jake Almeida for that. And I had Chris Bluebred,
yeah,
MMA, Kamalsberger's belt. So,
yeah.
You know, I had a pretty
how
good.
How many pro
pretty
fights
good
have you had
there
now? What's your pro record now?
Five, man. I started out shitty, man. I started out terrible for my pro fight.
Oh,
started 0-3, man. I took a fight and I, man, no excuses. I wasn't training correctly, you know, like I should be. And
that's all right. So you're in the game. No need to apologize, dude, at all.
I lost one, and then I lost another, and then I lost another, and then, you know, kind of after that, you know, I knew, you know, what are they going to do to me? So it was like 0-3 as the rock bottom of MMA. So I got that fight for Chris, and I was comfortable, man. And since then, I feel like a new fighter. I feel like, you know, what are you going to do to me? Punch me? You're going to beat me? You're going to slam me on my head? Well, it's happened to me before, so, you know, do it again then, I guess. See how
well,
I react.
It's good to see,
you know,
that, because I see that happen to a lot of guys that, you know, I'm, you know, primarily an amateur announcer here in Michigan. I get out once in a while, like you saw. But, like, you know, I see a lot of guys turn pro, and it's not what it's cracked up to be because they start getting fed to people because it's hard to find good-paying pro fights. And when someone needs you, it's usually at the last fucking minute, and it's somebody's fucking stud in their hometown that sold 100 or 300 fucking tickets.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get up with three losses, and it's like, you know, just like you said, something wasn't quite right. So you stuck with it. You know it's what you want to do. And there's a lot to be said for that.
for sure. That's that's pretty much exactly how it went. You know, I guess, like I said, after you when you talked to me after that fight, man, down there at Fight Legends of Quad Cities, you know, that's like the worst thing. You know, three losses in a row. You know, that's hard as shit to come back from. You know what I mean? And for me, I just stayed with it, brother. I mean, I got good people behind me that backed me up on everything, so I stayed strong. You know, I still knew I was a good fighter. It didn't knock me out too much. Just, you know. It's tough, though, man.
Somebody's
got to
win.
Back, so I'll be all right.
Somebody's got to win every time. There's going to be a winner in every fight.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely.
So, Sean, what's coming up for you next, man?
I just actually took one today. It's October 13th. It's North Dakota. It's, I think, North Dakota. It's Dakota Fighting Championships, one of those Dakotas. It's Dakota Fighting Championships. I'm fighting Jeremy Stets, 11-4 guy. He seems pretty skilled. He's actually their champion up there, but... it was a good fight to showcase on, and Matt actually from Light 'Em Up Fight Gear got me hooked up with that. Shout out to him. He's helping me out a bunch, man. I appreciate him. And he put that one together, and you know, gave me enough time to get ready. And you know, I'm gonna try to switch my training up for this, man. You know, I like staying at home with MMAG, but you know, maybe try to get out there a little bit and experience a few more gyms. You know, shoot over to Miletich and get some. Love from those guys and see how it goes, you know.
There's a lot of great gyms all around the Midwest. And, you know, it seems that's the thing that a lot of fighters are doing nowadays is getting all they can get at one place and moving on. And that's really, the hybrid fighter and the hybrid fighting style. You know, you've got to move around. You've got
to
learn and keep learning.
You
have to. Otherwise,
you're
just going to get passed up.
There's somebody in every gym. I don't care if they're the bottom of the barrel, you know, if they're the bottom of the totem pole. Somebody will teach you something. You know what I mean? If it anything, you're constantly learning. That's what I like about this sport too, man. And that's like for the young kids these days, man, that are learning this early. They're gonna be fucking nasty when they get old. So, you know, there's all you can learn from anybody, man. It don't matter. You know, that's why you gotta switch it up. You have to. Look, like Spencer, look, he had a gym up here in the Quad Cities, but, you know, some of the times he wouldn't even be up here. He'd be at other gyms, you know, getting ready for his fights. You know, you can't be one-dimensional in this sport. There's too many aspects of it.
Oh, and speaking of the kids, man, I was at a fight that we did at a fairground, God, this summer, where there was two 70-pound kids, right, in a grappling match.
Oh, yeah?
Just, you know, these fucking kids, man, they were as good as any amateur fighters I've seen other than, you know, top-level guys. You know, but they were just, I mean, this match was great to watch, and these kids put on a show. You know, they damn near went the whole distance before the other kid got, you know, to the point where he was going to get choked, and they stopped it, you know.
Right, right.
It was awesome to see that. No, like you said, I've got a future. I'm going to be calling their names someday. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
He really does.
Man, and those kids, you know, those are the ones that, you know, if we train them, those are the ones that are going to keep the sport alive and that are going to, you know, if we want to stay in the sport to be trainers or anything, those are the ones that are going to keep us having, you know, keep us at the sport and give us jobs.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It's going to stay competitive. It's going to get more competitive. It's going to be to the point where, you know, like one of the topics that we were talking about that, you know, it's hard to avoid, but they canceled a pay-per-view because the champion wasn't prepared to take a fight in 2 weeks, you know? And I don't think a title defense kind of fight should be made in 2 weeks. I think that this sport and fighters like John Jones and, you know, organizations like the UFC that have rules that are so encompassing, you know what I mean? They're very, they corral everything into one. You've got to pretty much follow the same rules. And if you're a hybrid fighter and you're preparing for one kind of guy and you're defending a very expensive title belt that's worth a lot of money to you, you know, you've got to have time to prepare. You know, what do you think about that?
Excuse me, guys, but that was our 2-minute warning bell. We have 2 minutes left with Sean here.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Well, so, you know, now you're at that point. You're at that point where you're understanding that, you know, look, man, there's a lot that goes into this, and there's very little margin for error anymore.
Yeah, man, it's crazy, and I wouldn't want to be in John Bones Jones' position for that decision. You know what I mean? Because as a fighter, you know, you got your ego, but as a fighter, you got to, you know, you got managers when you're at that level. You got to listen to those managers because they're thinking of probably what's best for you. I don't know if fighting him would have been the worst mistake of his life, like Greg Jackson said, but you know, I mean, me personally, I'd take a fight right now if they called me off my couch. You know, right. If Dana paid me enough, I'll fight Dana. Shit.
Well, you know, and the fact that there's thousands of you around the country now makes it harder for people like Jones to be able to make decisions like this too. So you presented a good side to it. And you know, one of the things we like to do, and one thing you already covered, was we ask what kind of advice you have for amateur fighters coming up, and also any other sponsors you'd like to shout out to.
Any advice, man, stick with it. Take every fight that you can take as an amateur. Fight, 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 fight. I know it's abuse to your body, but take all the experience that you can get. I miss Amsterdam up there at the club fighting every Thursday, because I would take total advantage of that and be up there every Thursday, get as much cage experience as possible. So to any amateurs, fight, 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 and train, 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 and stick with it. And then any sponsors, Lalo Kennels, Team Lalo, shouts out to MMAG, Eric Perry, Randy Mead, Dylan Woods, Kyle Woods, I love you guys. I love my fiance, Haley. I love my daughter, LaBella, and I appreciate you guys for having us on. And shouts out to Light 'Em Up here. Don't forget. Thanks, you, Matt. I appreciate you, man.
For sure, Sean. Thanks for checking in tonight, man, and take care of yourself, and good luck up there in North or South Dakota or wherever the hell you're going next.
Yeah, whichever one it is. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Hey, you're welcome.
You have a good night.
All right, God bless.
All right, there's good old Sean West, good old Midwestern fighter, full of piss and vinegar, that boy is.
Good kid, man. Good kid.
Absolutely, without a doubt. You know, Dave, we're going to keep on moving, keep on grooving. We got a minute or two here before I call my next guest. Our next guest we're going to talk to is he's a UFC veteran, MMA veteran of all sorts, a guy by the name of Jason Reinhardt. We last saw Jason fight, it was UFC on Versus 5 back in August at Hardy versus Lytle. He lost
2011?
What's that, bud?
When was that, 2011?
Yeah, it was back in August of last year. It was the last time we saw Jason fight. And tell you what, I'll pull up my switchboard right now and pound in a number, and this looks like an Illinois number. I wonder if he's in Illinois, or if that's just where his phone was originated from. We'll find out. I know Jason, if I'm not mistaken, he trains with Team Wand out in Vegas via Decatur, Illinois. If I'm not mistaken, we'll find out.
Hello.
Hi, Jason.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey, I'm doing well. This is Big Perm with Uncensored MMA. How the hell are you tonight, brother?
Yeah, good. What's your name, man?
My name's Big Perm. My name's Jeremy White, but everybody calls me Big Perm.
big, are you saying Big Tom?
Big Perm, like a perm hairdo.
Oh, Big Perm.
Yeah.
Well, my phone must have been down.
Oh,
I got
gotcha.
You.
You're on live with me and my co-host, Dave the Butcher Clifford. Dave, you still hanging in there with me, man?
Yeah, I'm here, and I'd like to welcome Jason to the show. It's a pleasure to have you on Uncensored MMA Online Radio tonight.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Same here, man.
Well, listen, Jason, I was talking with my producer, Chris, before the show.
Good.
And he was telling me, you've had a rather interesting story and a wild, crazy road through your MMA career. Heck, you fought in the UFC three different times. Just lay it out there for us, man. Tell us about your road and your path.
Well, man, it has been a definite journey. That's for sure. You know, it all started basically. I say it all started when I was 9 years old, when my parents, enrolled me into, Taekwondo classes. And just, my whole adult life, it's been competing, and as a child too, So just, I never dreamed I'd even make it to the UFC, I just watched Royce Gracie like everybody else from my generation, beat these guys on the ground, and all of a sudden, I sit there and I'm like, man, I don't even know nothing about the ground, so it made me pursue jiu-jitsu and judo, and, then it just all kind of snowballed from there, But
well,
I come from.
like you said, you made it to the UFC. I mean, you fought three different times. And just before we brought you on, the last time we saw you was back August of last year. You fought Edwin Figueroa at the Hardy Lytle event.
Yeah.
Making it.
What weight class was that one? Because you fought three different weight classes in the UFC as well, didn't you?
Yeah. That was at one. That fight was at 135.
Damn.
You know. Yeah. Yeah, man. I don't know what happened in that fight. I'll tell you. You know, I spent 15 weeks away from home in Vegas at Vanderlei Silva's camp, and you know, we knew we had to get the clinch. You know, and he was a good Muay Thai guy, and he's a lot taller and has a lot more reach than me. So my whole camp, you know, was beautiful. I mean, it was great. I felt great. I mean, heck, man, they had to kick me out of the gym, you know. They told me to go home, you know, but
yeah.
I kept training. You know, I just felt great, and my cardio was incredible, and, you know, it was the first time that I got down to 135 with, you know, about 6 years I hadn't fought at 135, so I put on some muscle, and I didn't think it would be that difficult, you know, but I miscalculated, and it was. And so I don't know, man, I still felt great, you know, up until leading into the fight. Even walking in, I felt awesome. And then I got out there, and I gassed. You know, it just, it still haunts me to this day. I think about it. There's not a day that goes by.
And so that's
just
as simple as it gets. I mean, sometimes, I mean, I've seen that a lot. I mean, like I said, I'm an announcer by trade, and I announce amateur and some pro-am fights, and I've done some casino shows for Terry and some other stuff here in the Midwest. So I've seen where that just becomes a killer. And it can happen, even like you had said, your cardio was ready, but something happens, you know what I mean? And like you said, sometimes...
I'm sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
No, I'm asking you. Go right ahead. Elaborate as much as you'd like.
No,
I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no, man. It's just, you know, like, it's kind of disgusting, but I'll just tell you straight up. I couldn't get past 143. You know, and for me, man, as a professional, I think the most embarrassing thing would be not to make weight, especially in the UFC,
sure.
You know. And my whole career, I spent fighting bigger guys, you know. So, you know, whatever, I would walk around at 130, you know, a lot earlier in my career, and you know, fought bigger guys. But so I didn't think fighting, you know, going down to 135 would be a big deal. But you know, the night before, I remember telling my brother, I'm like, man, you know, I'm real paranoid about this extra weight, you know. And I said, go get an enema, you know. So I sent his ass for a fucking enema, man. So I did that, man. I don't know if it's got the nutrients out of me or what the hell it did, but don't, that's my advice. Don't take a freaking enema, man, the night before you're going to fight to cut weight. So, But I did get hit, but to Edwin Figueroa's credit, I did get hit with a really nice body shot. And you know, sometimes, you know, I don't know, maybe that was it. All I remember is coming back to the stool, being absolutely had nothing left. And I told my brother, I was like, I can't breathe. And, you know, that's when he said, get your fucking ass back out there and fight, you know. And of course, there was no doubt about I was not going to quit. And, you know, I saw the young, fresh lion over there getting ready to kill me.
Right.
Well, Jason,
so here you are now. I mean, what, you're about my age. I mean, I'm almost 40, and you know, you fought in the UFC three times. You fought Joe Lauzon, who's still relevant. I mean, one of the tougher guys in the UFC in any weight class. I mean,
I was happy to see that he's almost really, if he wins this next one, he's going to be in pretty much title contention.
I agree. And so,
that's,
you know, there's nothing to hang your head about. I mean, the three losses that you have are all three in the UFC. I mean, I know several guys, great pro careers, great records, that when you get to that level, you just never know what's going to happen. Anything can happen in there. And when you make weight cuts, I always ask people about that. That's why I was excited to interview you when I found out you've fought in so many different weight classes, to ask you how it affected you. And for you to just share that right off the bat was, man, I appreciate that.
Man, I mean, the most disheartening loss, though, really, to be honest with you, was when I flew 20 hours to Australia, and we knew damn good and well that the guy that I fought, Taekwon Zhang, good fighter, but he has a really good guillotine. We knew that if we stayed away from the guillotine, I could be good, you know. And I fought him at 145, and I felt strong, and actually that was where I felt the best. And, man, he got right out of the gate, man. He catches me in 48 seconds with the damn guillotine, and I just, you know, I went out unconscious, you know, but... you know, it's just that those are the ones that haunt you, you know. You didn't even get a chance to fight, you know.
Right. I mean, one of the things about Amis, bro, I mean, it just to liken it to things that I experience every weekend. I have a couple promoters I work for, and, you know, they give pre-fight speeches in the back room as everybody's taping up right after the fighter meeting, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's one promoter that says, I don't like guillotine chokes in the first round. Does your coach teach you to take a guillotine in 20 seconds? No. And if he does, raise your hand and let me know, and I'm never going to call you again. Because it just saps the energy right out of it. It's not like a 20-second knockout or a 50-second knockout that everybody remembers. It's like, ah, oh, fuck. Damn it, choke.
Yeah.
You know? So don't hang your head on that.
Well, to take Juan Zhang's credit, he does have... They say he has a special guillotine, and Eddie Bravo said that he did it where he put my head, like, in the center of his chest. So he did it in a different way that I'd never really felt before. And I'll tell you, you talk about tight, man. That sucker, it was like a vice grip got a hold of my neck.
Crazy shit, man.
Yeah, so anyway, he's a good guy, though, man. Good guy, and I wish him the best, you know. So.
Sure. Jason, I had a question for you about your life prior to, you know, making it to the UFC. I mean, you had a great career coming up, but I read some story where you had actually, like, broke your neck in a title fight or something and actually won the damn fight.
What?
Yeah, those were the crazy days, man. Those were the days where you had no commissions, you know. What the hell was a commission, you know? And I remember...
Like Michigan.
Yeah. Oh, is that right?
That's how we are. We're the wild, wild west, man. It's crazy.
Yeah, there's good and bad to be said. There's good and bad to be said about that, but
mostly bad.
I remember, man. They were getting ready. They were getting the cage ready. With the matting on the floor. And I remember they were putting it together, and I walked up and. I said, I noticed that they were not putting the foam, not the foam, but the piece that goes in between the mat and the two-by, the sheet of plywood, to kind of give a little resistance, you know, for the fall, break the fall a little bit. And I remember saying, you know, what was that? And they said, oh, Randy said it got wet in the rain last night. We're not gonna put that on. So we were fighting on plywood, man. So. Anyway, man, it just, you know, I knew I was hurt, man. I should never have taken the fight. The doctors told me I had bulge and two discs bulged in my neck, C5 and C6 and C7. He told me not to fight, but, man, I already signed the contract, and I'm not one to pull out of fights. And I took the fight, and, you know, I was doing good and just, you know, got the arm lock, and I ended up not hooking the leg, you know, making a beginner mistake back then. Not hooking the leg when you're on your back, you know, if you get that arm lock to prevent the slam. And he did a nice job of slamming me, and the second slam, you know, is it went ahead and herniated the discs and then broke the vertebrae. And so
damn,
I was out. But the good news is, man, he tapped. So that was the good one. He tapped. He made actually... You know, he didn't get out of the arm.
He gets the victory.
Yeah, yeah,
wow.
It was pretty, it was the belt, man. It was pretty, they flew him in from Arizona, Del the Filipino Delight Hawkins. And I remember, you know, he fought a lot at Rage in the Cage back then. Those days, guys don't even remember it. Yeah, but, those are good old, those are the days when Sean Sherk fought for the same organization, and he fought Carl Parisian when Carl was 17 years old, and Carl and him fought, and I remember Sherk getting in a car and driving home 15 hours with his head was the size of a pumpkin, man.
Oh, I bet. I get to hang out with him quite a bit. I'm actually sponsored by Elevation Training Mask. He comes to Traverse City and Cadillac, where I announce. I get to see him a lot, dude. That's pretty cool you bring him up. He's a good,
he's
a funny
motherfucker.
Oh, yeah,
he's a great guy. He beat Carl that night, man. But it was like back then, it was like the time limit. Sometimes there was, you know, no time limits. But they had such a long fight. I just remember, you know, Shirk went in and his head was just huge, and he's a tough son of a bitch, man. And drove all the way back.
Fuck.
I think it was in a snowstorm too.
Hey guys, sorry to interrupt, but that's our 2 minute warning. We got about 2 minutes left for Jason. Time flies when you're having fun, man.
Yeah.
Hey Jason, now you're from Decatur. Are you down in Decatur tonight?
Yeah, I'm here in Decatur. Yes.
Oh, good old Decatur in Illinois, man. I'm just up the road from you. I'm up here in Peoria, is where I'm at.
Oh, right on.
Chris, my producer Chris was telling me that you have a show coming up. You got something coming up here in the near future?
Well, we all know. I think our next fights. I've been doing these shows for a long time, you know. And the next show is in Champaign, Illinois, in the next couple of months, I believe. I have to ask my partner.
Oh, awesome, dude! I'm definitely wanting to come down for that. I got a lot of friends in Champaign, and
I'd love to
hang out with them and see some great fights. It'd be an awesome night, man.
Great, man.
If you
great,
need an announcer, let me know.
Okay, yeah, that definitely, I may really take you up on that, no kidding, because I actually do
Please
need
do.
Them.
Please do, I'd love to do
right
it.
Right on,
and,
guys.
We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it afterwards.
Be a big old party.
Yeah.
Well, Jason, is there anything else you want to throw out there, any shout-outs, thanks to sponsors or anything like that, man?
Man, just thanks to all my, you know, my family and my, you know, my fans and my friends, you know, that... They keep, you know, supporting me, and, you know, they know that I'm not done yet. I've still got some, the old man still has some fight left in him.
Hey, Please. You know, and I almost forgot, Jason, there's always one question we like to ask everybody.
Yeah?
If there was tag team MMA in the UFC today,
yeah,
what two teams would you put against each other? Who would you team up and put against who?
I put Randy Couture's team against Kings MMA in California.
So Team Couture against Kings, huh?
Yeah, Couture against Kings MMA.
Hell yeah, that'd be I say we just do a Royal Rumble between the two teams and see what happens.
Yeah. The only problem is, man. Yeah, the only problem is somebody. So if you do that in UFC today, somebody would probably get killed.
No doubt, that would be crazy.
Hey, but actually, you know what? When I used to fight for Monty Cox back in the day, you know, he had these shows at Stars and Stripes right there in the Quad Cities, and we did do tag team MMA.
I remember
that, dude.
Yes,
we did.
Really?
Are you shitting me? Leave it to Monty.
I swear. Yeah, again, no commission, you know, no commission. So yeah, we sure did do tag team MMA.
Damn.
Those were crazy. I remember that shit, man.
Hey, did you ever fight for Terry? Did you ever fight for Terry at King of the Cage?
Yes, I sure did. Yep, a few times
Did you win there? I never really looked any of this shit up. I just like hearing it myself. You know what?
Yeah, I won there. I won in Canada, and I won in when Monty Cox brought Terry's show down when they had it on pay-per-view in Moline, Illinois. They had it at that big arena. And then I fought on King of the Cage in Indianapolis as well. So,
Terry, I used to work for them for a while.
Oh, really? Terry, Terry, I like Terry. Terry's a good guy. You used to work for King of the Cage, huh?
Yeah, I did a few of their shows here in Michigan, and then, of course, RIP, but Big Papa Schnocky died there, and they hired that guy.
Oh, man, that was horrible.
Hey, well, listen,
he's a great
Jason,
dude.
I want to say thanks, man, for taking the time to talk with us tonight. About your next event. We'll definitely come down and hang out and have a good time.
Sure.
I intend on being the mic man. I'll get a hold of you on Facebook, right?
Right on, buddy.
All right, Jason, take care and have a great night, brother.
All right, you too, guys. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Later.
Bye-bye. See you. Bye.
All right. You still with me, Dave?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. We got two different opinions on Terry Treblecock tonight, huh?
We sure did, man. I was just going to stay quiet on that one. I managed not to cut you off this time. That was awesome. But, Jason, you know, I really look forward to going down to that next event that they have in Champaign and seeing you. Man, I'd love to see you in the cage announcing all these fighters. And I definitely
you get to watch me work.
You know, he says he's still got some fight in him, so I want to see his next fight as well. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I agree totally.
Totally. And
so what do we got? What do we got? We got coming up our first female guest tonight, correct?
We got a female guest coming up, but we actually have one other person I want to dial up really quick before we get to Caitlin Young. I want to put this phone number in here. I think this is a Michigan phone number, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, Coldwater?
Yeah, well, I think Coldwater, Michigan, I think.
Home of the Michigan Sports Camp.
Yeah. A guy by the name of Dan Severin. You ever heard of him?
The Beast.
I'm going to chat with him about this upcoming reality TV show that he's going to be hosting casting calls for on August 30th at the Michigan Sports Camps. And doesn't look like Mr. Severin picked up that time. So we'll just keep on moving down the line, and sometime between now and the end of the show, we'll try and get back with Dan. Talk with him about this open casting call that they got coming up for this new reality television show. But, Dave, just like you said, we are going to get on down the line and talk with our first female guest ever, an Invicta fighter, a lady by the name of Caitlin Young. And just as I hit that and push the dial button, we'll be talking with her here shortly. She is one tough lady, and, you know, I tell you, this is a lady that I would not want to fight. I'd run from her.
This is quite an honor. This is going to be an honor.
Absolutely, man. Let's see if we can get Caitlin on the line here. And so we last saw Caitlin fight in Invicta 2 back in July. She fought Liz Carmouche. And it looks like, hello, Caitlin. It looks like strike number two, man. We'll have to try our guests here again here shortly. But in the meantime, Dave, the reality TV show that we were going to talk with Severin about, it's the Global Proving Ground. This is a press release that I'm reading from. It's a new revolutionary platform that enables combat sport athletes to showcase their skills on a global level. It's proud to announce that MMA legend Dan the Beast Severin will host GPG's next reality show, Casting Call. So what they're doing is they're holding an open casting call August 30th up in Coldwater, Michigan, and Michigan Sports Camps. And they are looking for people to try out for this reality television show. At each casting call, elite combat sport athletes will be filmed by experienced producers and ensure that each fighter's reality show tryout video is of the highest quality. So we got a new television show coming out. Have you heard much about it at all?
No, I did get an email from Dan about this, and I read the same thing you did, and you know, it looks like an opportunity for young fighters.
Most definitely.
And
you know, let's see, give sponsors. I think we're going to try Dan here in about 5 minutes. Yeah, we'll talk to Dan here in just a few. In the meantime, guys, I just want to give a big shout out to one of our major sponsors here on UMOR. It's Tri-County Cab Company of Peoria, Illinois. They're Peoria's best cab company, guys. And Fred and Mike, they do a great job. If you're in the central Illinois area, the Tri-County area, 309-497-1111 is the number that you want to put in your phone now for when you need it later. So, Dave, back to this UFC 151 cancellation. You know, we've talked to...
Well, before we get to that, check your text, I'm told.
Oh, yeah, I just did, and my text here says that we'll talk with Caitlin at 9:40, and we'll give Dan a call here in about 5 minutes. My text messages weren't popping up, so I apologize, Chris, that I didn't get your messages. But I tell you what, while we've got a couple minutes of time here to kill.
Okay, go ahead.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to bring our producer, Chris Maltzberger of Blue Blood MMA. Are you there, buddy?
Sperm, how you doing?
I'm doing well, man. I figured since I had a couple of minutes here of unplanned empty time, I figured I'd bring you on and see what kind of details you had lined up for next week's show. I know you sent me a text earlier telling me a little bit about it, but what do you got in the works for next week, man?
Yeah, I don't have paperwork for me, but I know that we got confirmation from Lacey Shookman, who is an Invicta female fighter, and also Chase Beebe, who is, I believe he's in Bellator right now, if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah, and a couple other guys. We got a couple other guests lined up. I know we're going to talk to Dan here very shortly, briefly about his reality casting call that he's got coming up this Thursday, and then we're going to talk to him next Monday as well to do a recap. And, yeah, all sorts of good guests, man. They're piling up, man. These shows, I just have a blast listening to you guys. I mean, our guests are always very entertaining. Rick Bathman, what a guy, right?
Wow.
Dude, yeah, he's got so many stories and such an interesting story to tell, you know, that I hope that we can get him back on next week and talk to him for, you know, I don't know, man.
Well, not next week
because
it's in India, but, yeah, definitely in the next couple of weeks, man. I'll definitely stay in contact with Rick. And after he gets done with his Korn concert, which is fucking awesome, maybe we can book him back on the show for sure.
So is there any word on that event at the end of the month, the pro event
that
you were looking to throw in?
I don't have any more. I'm still working out some details with the Iowa Commission. I know the date that I originally wanted is already double booked. You know, there is a rule in the rule book that they can't allow more than two shows to go on in the state of Iowa on the same day. I believe it's something along those lines. And that day was already chosen, so that's it, man. Just back to the drawing board. I'll get a date set in stone by the River Center and by the state, get it approved, and then we'll start rocking and rolling, brother.
Hey, I got one quick question. I got a quick question for you, man, since you deal with it, and I've always wanted to know. You know, Illinois and Iowa are a little bit different. In dealing with the commissions in Iowa versus, you know, over here in Illinois, What's it like working with those commissions? I mean, is it a tough thing to do, or is it rather easy to talk with those guys and get things done, or is there a lot of politics involved?
Oh, boy, what an interesting question. I guess I can, comment on a couple angles of that, I guess. It's like this. Some of the guys on the commission, just to name them in Iowa, you know, Ed Bull, Frank Detoy, Joe Walsh, guys like that. They are good guys. They're outside of the MMA community, I'm sure, or even inside the MMA community for that matter. They're good guys. But you as a promoter, you just have to understand that they're not there to sit back and have a good time. They're there to make sure you're running your show correctly and by the rules and regulations set by them. And honestly, as long as you live up to those expectations of the rules and you follow those rules, they're very pleasant to work with. But if you make mistakes, they will let you know that you have made those mistakes. You know what I mean? So
And they won't waste any time doing it, neither.
And they won't waste any time doing it at all, you know. And as far as the politics go, do I think there's politics in it? Absolutely. There's politics to go with anything, you know, whether it's the MMA commission, you know, MMA commission is still a government job. And, I don't even want to get me started on what I think about government officials and government jobs. So, at the end of the day, it is what it is. Like I said, they're all great guys. I've never met a guy who was so to say, an asshole or a prick. Maybe I was unjustly treated on one occasion. But you know what? At the end of the day, if I sit back and I look back, there was probably things that I could have done to correct those mistakes that I did make at my show, and they were just there to point them out. And that's their job. Like I said, their job is to look after the safety of the fighters, to make sure that the sport is run and the promoters are living up to their expectations, and obviously to collect that big fat check at the end of the show. So
payday, baby, payday. Well, Chris,
payday, baby, that's it.
This is for you, brother.
Peace.
Take care, bud. Thanks for taking the time, man.
Later, Holmes.
Gong to him.
Oh, he got gonged, baby. He got gonged.
That's funny.
Alrighty, well, what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to dial up my switchboard here, and I'm going to pound in that Michigan number, dial up the cold water, And I'm thinking it's about time to talk with Mr. Severn about this casting call that he's gotten up coming up. And if you're listening, guys, and you're in the Michigan area, pay attention to this. You know, if you want to go up there and check it out, it should be rather interesting.
Hello.
Hey, Dan.
Yes, sir.
Hey, this is Big Perm from Uncensored MMA. You're on with me and Dave the Butcher Clifford. Are you hanging there, Dave?
Yeah, what's happening, Dan? I'm good there, Dave.
Me too. Is it hot down there? Is it hot down there in Coldwater or what?
We're cool. We're just cool there, Dave. We're just cool.
Yeah, it's about 80 here, man. It's still hot. It's nighttime.
Yeah, it's warm. It's a little sticky. I've got the old the ceiling fans turned. It's just enough just to move the air around. That's all.
Yeah, it's nice out. So Dan, you got something going on here Thursday. I got some emails about this, and I've been seeing it on Facebook now and sharing it. Why don't you tell us about what's going on at Michigan Sports Camps?
Well, let's see. Michigan Sports Camps. Well, this coming Thursday. Like a monster truck show there, you know. We have... Is you there?
Maybe
I should take my medication first, huh?
No, please don't. We'll keep you on longer if you don't.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, this coming Thursday, I'm just being a host there, hosting this event for Proving Grounds. Proving Grounds is it's a new upstart mixed martial arts company. I'll say mixed martial arts, but really I should probably say martial arts company, because they're not looking for just MMA guys. They're looking at people of all walks of discipline. So whether you be judo, jiu-jitsu, karate, taekwondo, and the list goes on. It's just their opportunities of getting in front of in front of a camera. There'll be just a few basic questions that'll be asked to them, and then for them to demonstrate their skills. But all in all, I believe they are going to select roughly 16 athletes and some alternates that will be going to what they're referring to as Warrior Island. But Warrior Island is basically Hawaii for all you laymen there. And that shoot is tentatively slated for, I believe, last accountability I had was sometime in late February or the 31st of March is a shooting that will take place. I believe it's between 4 and 6 weeks right there on location.
Now, wow.
That's where the major bulk of it will be taking place.
Well, Dan, I got to ask, is this just amateur or is this pro or both?
I would say it's open to both, but realizing that you will be a pro by the time you say yes, you will have to be in the classification of pro, because there is a salary that is supposed to be going right along with the salary, health benefits, things of that nature. So you're being compensated to do this, so it throws you into that category of being a professional now. So I would say this would be for the novice martial artist, but I would say for someone that has been at least doing the art for, you know, at least a few years, so that you have some confidence in your ability. Because ultimately, there is going to come down to competition. But unlike other types of mixed martial arts company, I guess, to really kind of think of this a little bit more, there's several reality shows kind of all put together is what this is kind of like. And it would be like Dances with the Stars meets Survivor.
Wow.
It's going to be very...
something.
Well, the fact that it's going to be so interactive with the social media. So it could maybe not be the best fighter, just like you'll see like on Dances with the Stars. But because of your popularity, wouldn't it be popular, or people think that you're so outrageous, or whatever the reason may be, they can vote in to save your butt in the process.
Ah.
So that's what I said. When you think about from a business perspective, rather genius the way that they're going after the social medias.
Yeah, you ought to cut them off at the pass and start one called Belly of the Beast and house some people and have them fight it out in tournaments.
You might be surprised what may be materializing after this there, Mr. Butcher.
Well, hook a native up with a job, homie. You know times are tough up here in the mitten.
Well, first of all, why do you think I'm hosting this in the great state of Michigan in the first place?
I mean, it's really a great opportunity.
It's I had the opportunity to be at one of their events already, and you know, after watching it and seeing the type of athletes that were trying out, let's say I kind of came across a little bit more like Simon from Dances or America's Got Talent. I was a little brutal on what showed up. And I simply told the man whose brainchild this is, James Jefferson. I go, James, let me host one in the great state of Michigan, and I'm going to show you a turnout of athletes. Not just MMA guys. I mean, inside my own training facility, amateur wrestlers. I've got boxers. I've got MMA guys. And I have a number of them trying out. Now, you've got to be a minimum of 18 years of age. That's probably the real prerequisite to all this. But and this can also be done online so that if people are, you know, just too far away, they can't make it in, well, there's opportunities that they can go online and get that as well. So, I guess the listeners that this might be intriguing, if, you know, couple different ways. If they were simply to go to dansevern.com, I've got it posted up on my website. Email me at dan@dansevern.com. That's just different ways that they can get in contact. Because I just to give out the phone number, I don't wish to be bombarded with phone calls. But with the website, with the email, you know, people can email in. They can look it online. And they'll get more details because they can click on a couple of different links and investigate this a little bit more. But it's real. It's going to take place. It's an opportunity.
I'll tell you what. If there's anything I know about Mr. Dan Severn, is that he's not going to put his name or affiliate with anything that he hasn't researched from top to bottom to make sure there's no filthy slime balls involved.
You got it.
I can tell you what, I would vouch for this, and anybody that's listening in Michigan that or anybody that can see this, we've got it linked on our Facebook page, and of course you can see Dan at dansevern.com. You can email him at dan@dansevern.com like you just said, and it's something I'd look into if I was a fighter, for sure.
It's just providing opportunities, and it's something that, you know, again, I'm a Michigan native, so I'm looking to try to help out my fellow brothers.
Absolutely.
Give them an opportunity.
Well, guys, that was our 2-minute warning there.
What's that?
I wanted to know if we could have you on next Monday night for a little bit longer interview and kind of get a recap of what you saw coming up this Thursday.
That'd be fantastic. Just kind of remind me with either a text or an email because I'm a little preoccupied at times.
Hey, well, I know you got something else besides this TV show. Something else I saw earlier this week on Facebook was the World Cup of Mixed Martial Arts. What's that all about, man?
Well, as Dave the Butcher knows, I don't put just one iron into the fire. I have multiple things going at all times. This is yet another company that I'm working with their whole concept is nation versus nation. Now, you remember the IFL I think they went, they became extinct somewhere about, I don't know, maybe 5-6 years ago, maybe a little bit longer. But that was...
Yeah, they did something once or twice. Yeah, I remember.
It had merit, but I don't think they had enough infrastructure put together. this organization, the WCMMA, they have an infrastructure already in place. And you know, their first event is going to be taking place September 15th back at the, I believe it's the Foxwoods Casino. And the very first event taking place there. Oh, my God, I can't believe I'm drawing a blank right now. I've got to look at my handy-dandy portable brainer here. Portugal versus but there's even some new updates. What if they're going to have a couple surprise Super Bowls that will be taking place, because China has caught wind of this, and they want on board in a big way.
Sweet.
So, again, it's another opportunity providing there. I mean, for what James Jefferson is doing with the Proving Grounds, that's an international event. It's more that individuality, and where the World Cup of Mixed Martial Arts, they're going for that nation versus nation, and I think it's something like five-man or seven-man teams, and I think there's got to be at least one female competitor. So it's a unique concept, but it gives – I think there's going to be a better drawability. Because when you look at what happens, like, during the Soccer World Cup, you think about what happens during the
Olympics. Oh, yeah, the Olympics just got over, of course.
Oh, it's huge. I mean, I'm watching television each night just to get some little glimpse of the Olympics here and there. Now, granted, I tend to favor some events over others, but that's only because I just happen to be a wrestler at heart.
Yeah, judo and wrestling was a lot of fun to watch. It was my first year watching that as a fan, to be honest with you.
I hate to interrupt. Oh. But we gotta get moving. We're running out of time, and I gotta get a hold of Caitlin Young yet. Dan, we will text you and email you and Facebook you, freaking get a hold of you every way we can. We want to have you back on next Monday night to talk about this reality show and how things went for you.
Not a problem. We'll talk about that, and we'll pull out one or two more irons in the fire. We'll discuss those as well. How's about that, guys?
Hell yes.
Can't wait, Dan.
All right, guys. Thank you very much. Proving Ground. This coming Thursday night. We'll see you.
All right.
Later.
All right.
Bye.
All right. It's always fun talking with the Beast, man.
Yeah, great dude. Of course, that is going to be at Michigan Sports Camps this Thursday, Coldwater, Michigan. Get online and check it out.
Absolutely. Well, listen, I'm not going to waste any time. We got another hour and 15 minutes to go, but I know things are getting
hot
there in the north. I know Dave's
an
needs
hours.
To sleep. I scheduled it for a three-hour show, but we're creeping on two hours
true.
Right now. What I'm going to
do. Yeah, we got one. Okay.
I'm going to dial up the phone. We got one more guest to get to, female fighter for Invicta, a lady by the name of Caitlin Young. Give me just a second here to punch in these numbers, and I will get this phone ringing, and we'll get on down the line. But, yeah, you know, talking with Dan is always a blast, and I'm so interested to talk to Caitlin. It's going to be quite an honor to talk to her and see what she's got coming up next.
Hello.
Hi, Caitlin. How are you tonight?
Oh, I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well, doing great. Sorry, we're a few minutes behind getting to you. We were just chatting with Dan Severn about something he had coming up, and we're more than honored to take the time to talk with you tonight, and I'm glad you got the time.
Yeah, I just got out of, bear with me, I just got done pumping gas. I'm leaving training right now.
right on. Well, listen, you're on live with me and my co-host, Dave the Butcher Clifford. If Dave, you still hanging in there, man?
Yeah, I'm here. That's like Jeremy had said, it's an honor to have you on the show, Caitlin.
Thank you.
Yeah,
happy
bet.
To be on the show.
Cool. And of course, to our listener, go ahead, Jeremy.
I was just going to say, Caitlin, you are the first female fighter that we've had on the show.
Ooh.
And Dave and I, you know, we're huge fans of female MMA. I love to see, you know, Invicta come about. You fought on their last event. Are you on the next card coming up? I failed to check that.
Yes. Actually, they announced my fight today. I'm fighting Sarah Kaufman.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I'm really excited. So that's why when I sent you a little message, I was like, we'll have a lot to talk about. So, they just announced that today.
Awesome, man. That's freaking great. So
what's the date on that?
Training.
October 6th.
Wow, that's coming right up. Then, so you're gonna go. You're probably right in training camp now, huh?
Right. Yeah. Well, and honestly, like I just found out about it Friday. I found out that they wanted her and I to fight on Friday. They had mentioned that they might have me fight on this card. Man, I think it was the Monday after my last one. So I didn't like let my weight get out of control or anything. I just, you know, took a week off and then got back to it. So back in camp.
Nice. Now, you're no stranger to big fights here. I mean, you fought some of the biggest names in women's MMA, Gina Carano, I mean, in 2008. I mean, that was back. I mean, one of the things, I'm an announcer by trade, so one of the things I do all over Michigan in small and medium-sized and, of course, sometimes big arenas, casinos, is let people know. I always try to work for organizations that have women's fights.
Oh,
because
cool.
It's always... They're the most exciting fights of the night for so many reasons, because of the fact that they always seem to fight harder. They always seem, and it's not even about something to prove anymore. It's just you get better fights for some reason. It just seems to it excites the crowd. I mean, it's louder for the girl fights. They sell more tickets on the amateur level, and there's a lot more of them. I mean, just this weekend, I mean, I had a girls' title fight. 2 weeks ago in the middle of Michigan, we had 3 women's fights, 2 of them for titles. I mean, you see them all the time now, and you guys are setting an example, and we really appreciate it. And how does it feel to be out there as a pioneer in something that you do?
Oh, it's awesome. You know, and there are so many women before me that were fighting, you know, like Tara and Shayna, and some of those guys have been around for ages, you know. But it's great, and it's really come a long way. Like you mentioned when I fought Gina, and this even happened in my first fight on a local show. They didn't used to let women fight 5-minute rounds in a lot of organizations. They used to have us fight 3s. So, and now, like, thinking back, that's laughable, right? But that was only 4 years ago. It's not that long.
Oh, right.
I was kind of
surprised to know that there were actually, you know, pro-level women's fights going on back, you know, when I researched your fight history. You know, and I was like, holy shit, look at all the people she's fought. I mean, then I looked at,
I hate to cut you off, but that's one thing I wanted to mention. Back in the hook and shoot in 07, this lady, you won 3 fights in the same night, all by KO. I mean,
wow.
Misha Tate, Susie Smith, Patty Lee, you knocked them all out. And
Misha Tate?
Yeah.
What? Sweet. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was a good night for me. I almost didn't do the tournament because I was so new to MMA that I was just like, oh, man, well, what the hell, I'll try it. And it turned out well for me. So I think I took it on like 4 or 5 weeks notice. It was not even a super long camp. But I felt really, you know, really on point that night, so.
Well, and before this, I mean, you were fighting, I mean, you started doing taekwondo in your teens and got into Thai boxing somewhere around college in Minnesota. And so, I mean, were you strictly a striker when you signed up for this tournament?
I had started training, because I'd done like only, I want to say like 2 years of Muay Thai. I did Olympic style taekwondo, as you said, all through high school. And, then I started Thai boxing. I'd only done that at the amateur level. I won like an amateur belt or whatever, and then my coaches were like, "Why you should start like learning the ground, and we'll take an MMA fight." So I had my first MMA fight in October of 2007, and then Hook and Shoot was in November. So it was pretty short after I started training MMA as a whole.
Just, that's amazing to go through and fight 3 times in a night and win them all like that. And, I mean, you fought Julie Kedzie twice here, won a decision against her. Well, I guess what I'd like to ask then, and I've seen that this, I remember a couple of years ago seeing that they were announcing, they were putting together a staff for this Invicta Fighting Championships.
Mm-hmm.
What's it like to work for them? What's that company like? Is it, what are the shows like?
Oh, it's awesome. First of all, they really do care about the athletes. Like, it's, you know, it's a lot of little things. They make the travel really easy. Everything is really organized and laid out. Stuff like they provide corner buckets for everybody, so you're not scrambling to get one when you're out of town. And I know that sounds like not a big deal, but most shows don't do that.
Oh, that's awesome.
And yeah, it's little things. They do, you know, gift baskets, and you don't get the sense that they're playing favorites. They just do a really good job of making kind of like an even playing field for everybody, and it's
keeping it professional. Hello.
I think. Looks like yeah. It looks like we dropped the call with Caitlin. So.
Dropped call.
Yeah, I looked out. I was on a different window looking up some information, and I come back. The call was dropped when I heard her stop talking. So, we're gonna try and dial her up real quick and see if we can get her back on the line.
Maybe she went under a bridge.
Hi, you've reached Katie. Leave your name and number.
Nope. She's probably still on the line, thinking that she's talking with us, and oh man. So we'll try back here in just a second. I definitely want to finish this conversation with her. And let's try this again and see if we can get it to dial through. She was driving, so she might have went into a tunnel or under a bridge or something.
Hi, sorry. Yes, I think I hit a dead zone.
That's what we were thinking.
I'm just driving home. Anyway, yeah, like the fans, I haven't fought in Japan, but I've heard how much more respectful they are than you sometimes see at MMA events, and it is like that. The fans are incredible there, and they're so supportive of everybody, you know, win or lose, and it's just a really awesome atmosphere. Janet and Shannon are doing such a great job.
And, excuse me, who does the matchmaking over there at Invicta?
I think Janet primarily does the matchmaking, I believe, but I think Shannon has a hand in it as well. To be honest with you, I'm kind of lost it as far as what responsibilities are falling on who there.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I lost my co-host, Dave. I'm sorry, Caitlin. I lost my co-host for a minute, but he's back with us now.
All right.
We're having all sorts of difficulties tonight. Drop calls everywhere.
Yeah. We persevere.
Yes, we do. And that's why it's Uncensored MMA, because you never know what might happen with this show.
Yeah, no shit.
Well, Dave, I'll leave it up to you.
What's that? I'm sorry.
I said it's up. It's your turn.
Oh, so anyway, like I was saying, I really like to hear that because, you know, you hear some horror stories about professional fighters and how they're treated, especially women. You know, I've seen it in – I've worked for a few organizations here and there. And, you know, most of the organizations I worked for that were professional treated women really well. I worked for Terry at King of the Cage for a while, and we did a couple fights for G-Force here in Michigan. And they had a women's fight that didn't end up working because of medicals. You know, but like I said, we always – you know, it's cool to hear that. And we like to support organizations that are out there on the fringes and – scrambling, and you know, because there's a lot of good fighters on there, obviously, like yourself. What else is? I mean, who else have you met through Invicta? Tell us a little more about that experience.
There's a lot of female fighters come out to it, so fighting over the years, you get to know each other, but it's a little bit like a reunion every time you go because there are a ton of ladies that you fought or just that you're friends with that are all there, either supporting a teammate or just coming to hang out. So it's it would be a really great idea for female MMA fans to attend because you'll probably meet a lot of your favorite fighters.
And one thing about it is people are real accessible in this sport across the board, you know, not just females.
Right.
One thing
I think that's
this sport
true.
Is the males are very accepting. Like there's not a bunch of bullshit. Like, you know, obviously the WNBA, nobody watched that unless one of their family members was in it because the product
right. –
quite frankly, it wasn't as good. You know what I mean? It just wasn't. And it's too bad. You know, it's not against any of the athletes or anything. But when women fight, and when women fight MMA, because women's boxing is kind of boring. I'm sorry, but it is. In fact, you know, I'm a fan. That's my opinion. And women's MMA, just like I said, I've watched it so much now. The first couple times as an announcer that I saw it and to announce it, I was nervous. So I was like, wow, these gals are really nice. They're like cool. You know what I mean? They're not like, you know, weird-looking chicks or anything like that. They're, like, totally, like, normal girls you'd run into, like, just in everyday life. And then they get in there, and they put on almost every time it's fight of the night, you know. some of the best fights I've seen as an amateur attendant of attending fights have been the women's fights, just consistently. So I'm real proud of what you guys do, and just like I said, it's a pleasure to be talking to you.
Oh, that's great to hear. Yeah.
You know, big time. Now, why don't you tell us? Go ahead. Go ahead.
I just say I always got one question. You were talking about, you know, amateur fighters for just a second. There's a lot of amateurs that listen to our show, females included,
sure.
And we always like to get the pros' advice for the amateurs. So, you know, for the lady fighters that are Ammies looking to turn pro, you know, what kind of advice would you give the ladies in training and just overall in preparing for that career?
Training, you know, obviously, like, train hard, make weight, please. There's just, you'll get to a point where you have to invest a little bit in your training. This is something that I think I've learned even more recently, and that's just that you have to spend a little bit of money on that. It's not always easy to do.
Your recording has reached the maximum length. To replay your message, press 1. To delete and re-record your message, press 3. For delivery options, press 4. To cancel this message, press star. To send this message now, press pound.
I think my other line was still on Caitlin's other line when I was trying to call her back. I'm sorry about that.
That's okay.
Push pound, dude. Damn.
I did. I muted it. My bad. I didn't want to hang up on her, so I had to figure out which one to mute. So, what you were saying
well,
about the girls in training.
Oh, I would just say train hard, make weight, and make sure that you invest properly in your training. Just because a gym is the cheapest doesn't mean it's the best. You need people who are going to be looking out for your best interest, not looking to make a buck off of you. And then, you know, when you're once you are pro, don't ever depend on the money. Even if you have a contract, because I have been bitten by that so many times. Don't quit your job to train. That actually happened the first time Kaufman and I were supposed to fight. Elite XC folded 3 weeks out from that fight. So, you know, I would just say always have, financially, you always have to have a backup plan as far as training goes. You can tear your ACL and then be out. So,
some very good sound advice for the ladies out there that are listening, definitely. Well, Caitlin, we got about two or three minutes left with you tonight, hon. I want to say thank you first for, again, taking the time.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
Oh, for sure, man. It's been an honor, and I want to definitely have you back on the show after your fight and talk to you and get your thoughts on your victory, because I know you're going to win. I've got one other question that I always like to ask pretty much everybody we have on. If there was tag team MMA, and with what I want to know from you, what two teams would you put together? And I'm talking, let's make this co-ed tag team. What male and female
man.
Would you pit against male and female?
You just threw a wrench in my plan I already had cooking. I don't know. I would like
give
to be a Megumi Fuji Brock Lesnar team. I think that'd be fascinating. And
Mega Moo.
Perfect. And then I got to pick another one, huh?
Yeah.
Let's do Baszler and Anderson Silva.
Wow, that'd be a crazy fight.
That's
that'd
awesome.
That'd be excellent.
Great answer.
Yeah. Well, Caitlin, tell us about your next fight coming up one more time. Give us the details on that.
I'm fighting Sarah Kaufman October 6th. It's Invicta FC3. I haven't heard. I'm sure they're probably going to stream it free again, but I haven't heard for sure, so I assume they'll do that. And that's www.invictafc.com. There'll be
awesome.
A stacked card, two super stacked card. Make sure you turn in.
I just checked. I saw the poster last night for the next upcoming event, and yeah, just looking at the whole card from top to bottom is stacked. And so people listening, definitely check
well,
it
hey,
out.
Well,
well,
we're,
being held in,
well, we're
Kansas
on the
City, right?
Subject of plugs. What's your gym? Don't you own a gym, or do you, you're a personal trainer in Minnesota, right here in the Midwest?
I am. The gym I work at is Custom Fitness. It's in the Uptown neighborhood of Minneapolis, for anyone who is familiar with that.
Sweet.
It's like a private studio. It's a lot of fun there.
And Caitlin, do you plan on attending that UFC event coming up there later in October at the Target was it the Target Center or whatever up there?
If it wasn't the day of my weigh-in, I actually have a teammate, Jacob Volkman's fighting on that. And he trains out of the academy as well. But he, I'd love to be there, but I'll be in Kansas.
Gotcha. Well, I'm sure you'll be cheering your teammate on from Kansas, wishing him well.
Of course.
Well, Caitlin, listen, I want to say thanks again for taking the time to talk with us tonight, and we'll have you on as soon, right after your next fight, and get some more words from you. We'd love to talk to you again.
Okay, thanks. Nice talking to you guys.
Hey, you're quite welcome.
Thank you very much. Good luck.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye. All
right, bye.
Boy, Dave, I tell you, I couldn't have had worse luck with my switchboard in that interview, but she was just gracious enough to hang in there with
us.
Yeah,
that was great.
It
was
awesome,
like, what,
man,
the hell?
Yeah, I don't know what happened, man. I'm fishing around for other information, and all of a sudden I'm hearing stuff and people dropping. But, again, I want to say thanks to Caitlin for taking the time to talk with us as she was driving home from training for her next fight coming up in October 6th in Kansas City at Invicta 3. So, Dave, what do you think about tonight, man? We've had we had some interesting people on the show.
What a show. Five guests tonight. We ran through them, too. Nuts. What an interesting night. I mean, I want to thank Tri-County Cab for jumping on board with us. I mean, put that number in your phone. What is it again, Chris? Jeremy? My bad. I got Chris on the brain for some reason.
It's all good, man.
Because you always call him in, and I'm always thinking that for some reason. Jeremy, my bad.
The number is 309-497-1111. Put it in your phone now for when you need it later. It's Tri-County Cab Company of Peoria, Illinois.
Now they might get you, actually, if they call that number on certain nights, huh?
Yeah, actually, they might. Tuesday through Saturday, 5 p.m. to 5 a.m. I'm driving the streets of Peoria in a taxi cab, because that's what I do for a living. That's why I pay the bill.
That's awesome, dude. So somebody calls that number, which is our main sponsor, Tri-County Cab. If they call there, they could be riding with Big Perm. Well,
absolutely.
Perhaps they should bring a pre-fold.
Oh, presents are always welcome. And
absolutely.
I'm the coolest cab driver in town, man. Nobody.
I believe it. I want to come to Peoria just to take a cab ride, bro.
Dude, I'll take you around town and show you some things. I mean, you know, you're up there by Detroit. I mean, I'm sure you probably see some craziness as well. I don't know if Peoria.
I stay away from there. I'm 3.5 hours from Detroit. I'm up north in the middle of the woods.
Well, good. Stay away, because that place is crazy from what I hear.
Yeah, Flint's even worse. I did a show in Flint this weekend. Packed.
Oh, no.
Actually,
no,
it was nice.
Nice.
No shooting, so everybody was good. Well,
thank God, man.
Mm-hmm. No riots, no shootings.
I picked up a guy who was the most recent victim of Peoria's latest shooting. And he was walking all kinds of funny, and I asked what happened. He's like, man, I got shot just the other day. And I'm like, oh, I know who you are. And I'm like, wow, dude. It's like, jeez, what
damn.
Is, man? And he's out walking around after getting shot in the leg. It's like, holy cow, brother, you better lay low, man.
Yeah, man, he's probably looking for the motherfucker, too.
Oh, Jesus
follow
Christ.
That. You ever have anybody get in, bro, and say, follow that car?
No, thank God.
Damn it, man. If I was a cab driver, I would just be a cab driver until that happens.
I get all kinds
straight up.
Of wild, crazy shit, but I've not had that happen yet. And, you know, it's such a fun
park outside of this building right here. There's that bitch. And then you hear him clocking and fucking putting a clip in.
Oh, you know, a lot of times what I run into and what I've had happen is people in the back of my cab is as we're leaving downtown. You know, I pick them up at one bar, and as we're heading up the block, they look out the window and see their significant other hanging out with some other dude. And like, hit the curb. And, I mean, that happens quite often where I take off and then all of a sudden I have to let them out, and they're off wanting to fight some guy, and I never see him again. And so
damn,
that happens
you get your dollar 50. That's crazy.
Well, listen, we just got a few minutes left here on the show, and normally we do a little spot here at the end of the show with Dave called Spontaneous Combustion. But to be honest, Dave, I was kind of slacking this week and really didn't have anything lined up for it. So
we ran over anyway. I do appreciate it. We'll always find some material. We kind of covered a little bit of what I had going on, which was the UFC 151, in which we can – they've rescheduled a couple of those fights, and that thing's pretty much fine. I'm not going to bitch about it anymore. Let's move on and cover real events like Invicta and 1FC that are coming up. And that's cool, man. I really appreciate being a part of this show, Uncensored MMA Online Radio. A couple of my sponsors, I guess, Elevation Training Mask at trainingmask.com. Bonafide Tough Guys Sportswear, which is btgwear.com. And, of course, we mentioned Tri-County Cab. What else you got for me, Jeremy?
Every Wednesday night, you can catch Dave on Uncaged MMA, blogtalkradio.com. That's 10 p.m. Central, 11 Eastern, along with his host, Chris Dantema, up there in Michigan. Those guys give you the lowdown on pretty much anything Michigan MMA, and, of course, they also cover some of the national news as well. Dave, I just want to say thanks to you, man, for taking, you know, the 2 hours out of your Monday night. I know it's freaking 10 after 11 up there, dude. I better let you go.
Well, I really appreciate it, and you have a great night, and to everyone that listened, and I appreciate it. And thank you again, Blue Blood MMA, Chris Maltzberger, Tri-County Cab, and Big Perm. I'm Dave the Butcher, and I'm out.
See ya. All righty, gang. I just most importantly want to say thanks to you guys, first and foremost, for taking the time out tonight to listen in live. Without you guys, you know, we'd just be a bunch of idiots talking to nobody. next, I want to again thank our guests this week. And, man, we had a list of five of them tonight. A real interesting guy, Rick Bassman. Rick, thank you so much, dude. I can't wait to talk to you here in a couple of weeks when you get back from India. It's going to be a blast. And Sean West. Dude, good luck to you and whatever you got coming up when you go up there to the Dakotas, whichever it is, man. Good luck up there. And Jason Reinhart, we'll see you here soon, man. We want to come down to Champaign to that next event. We'll stay in touch, make sure we get details on that. We'd love to see our co-host, Dave the Butcher Clifford, inside the cage, calling your warriors to the battle. Dan Severn, I want to say thanks to you again, sir. Good luck this Thursday with your casting call. We'll talk to you next Monday night as well, see how things go for you. And Caitlin Young, thank you so much for taking the time and bearing with us towards the end of that interview as things went crazy. I want to say thanks to you again, and we look forward to talking to you after your next fight on October 6th. But, gang, most important, I want to say thanks to Tri-County Cab of Peoria, Illinois. It's Peoria's best cab company. Mike and Fred over there, those guys do a real good job at taking care of the people in town. Me, every Tuesday through Saturday night, I'm out driving around from 5 p.m. to 5 a.m. If you need a cab ride, call and ask for me. I'll come and get you guys. Chris Maltzberger of Blue Blood MMA, thank you so much for hooking us up each week with all our guests. If I'm forgetting anybody, Chris, send me a text now and let me know. Otherwise, I'm going to close the show up. But again, gang, you can catch Uncensored MMA online radio every Monday night at 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern, with me and my co-host, Dave the Butcher Clifford, as we just talk shit. But really, we interview great, great fighters and great people from the MMA community. I'm proud to be a part of this community, and I want to say thanks again to you guys for listening. Peace.